The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
You've been waiting for it to come. You've been excited for it. It's time for some stimulating conversation at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles. You're listening to episode 69, dude. The sex episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. And I mean long.
I think I was trying to draw your Conan. And I hear, fucking
Hey, we're recording, by the way.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome. And we're back!
Welcome to episode 69 of Thinking Outside the Long Box, as advertised, the all-sex episode.
Oh, yeah. Do I need to make, like, a like some sort of sexy entrance theme music to this one?
Yeah. Sexy entrance.
Yeah, I'll watch porno to get the music out of it.
Yeah, to get the music out of it.
So we have to do a lot of research on that.
Oh, this song's awesome. This song's awesome. No, don't turn this song off.
Just use the Bob's Burgers sexy time music, because you can get that on Spotify. The No, oh, we probably pay royalties for that, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we don't pay royalties to anything we do.
Yeah, we really don't. Eventually, somebody's going to listen to our show and be like, whoa, they owe us a lot of money.
No, I think it's like a few dollars here and there.
Oh,
give them
man.
A mushroom stamp.
So
every time I'm trying to drink.
Sorry.
So later in the show, we'll be doing an interview with Xenocat Artifacts. They make.
Is it kind of weird that she's standing here and you're talking to her in the past?
Why you gotta ruin?
We're sitting.
It's secret.
Why you gotta ruin?
No, she's not. Which is even more awesome.
Oh man.
Shh. Why we're talking to her now in the future. In the future,
when
future,
will then
in
be
the
now?
Yeah.
I'm sure she would love it if I actually talked about what they do, though, instead of you just being a fucking dickhead.
No, literally, that's what she does.
I know. She makes
dickheads.
Yeah. And so, Xenocat yeah. Artifacts. They do. I think we landed on artisanal
craft
dongers.
Dongers.
I like the juxtaposition of artisanal craft dongers. So, but she makes custom dildos. They are pretty amazing.
So
she also
you,
makes squishy toys.
If you want a horse donger
that you explicitly should not put anywhere in your body. Well, maybe like you chew on it.
Maybe
you
on your shoulder while you're.
No, I was talking about like a fucking.
Yeah, we did talk about the Hulk hands. So okay. So we all live in Colorado, right?
Yeah, apparently.
And so I figured
us talking. I don't know about our listeners because
from Mexico.
Órale! Los dildos. Oh, wow. Does ICE like dildos or what?
They do act like dicks.
Don't deport me, Mira. Here's a dildo.
Mira.
I feel like the plot of
you
like
use a dildo to cram the 8 balls of coke up your butt.
I feel like the plot of Born in East LA would be way different. We tried to hand the immigration guy a dildo, or if that took place in a dildo factory. But anyway, so we live in Colorado.
Yes.
Like, so I was looking at like some local news that had to do with sex,
okay.
And I really could only find one thing: aww. Three nurses from Denver Medical Center were suspended from their jobs because they were going into the morgue and pulling a guy out and pulling the sheet across to check out his giant dick.
Wow.
Like a nurse was like, you guys have got to see this.
The cock on this frozo.
Wish this.
On this
guys were male nurses. And you
oh my god.
This guy's giant.
You know, they didn't say if they were male or female in the thing.
No,
you never know. It could be dudes.
So I want to hear the story of how John came across Xenocat Artifacts.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So yeah. We're friends on Facebook because Shannon is also a cosplayer. And I saw her post about, you know, that she was doing this as a business endeavor. And I was like, that's fucking cool. Because I also have a business endeavor that's a little less dildo related, but I have a lot of dildos that come into my shop. And so,
including these guys sitting right here.
Real quick, while before he finishes that, Shannon, I see you working on your cards. Feel free to say words.
Yes.
Like, you do not have to pretend like you're not here. Yeah, what do you cosplay as?
I have cosplayed a lot of Mass Effect stuff, too. I've done Samara, Morinth, Thane Krios, Jack. I cosplayed Hades at Denver Comic Con. I had the whole feathered light-up headpiece and everything.
Nice.
I went for the actual comic Hades, not the feminine Hades, like pointy teeth and everything.
Did you do anything with silicone?
Not yet. That's actually practicing with making the molds for the toys, or
nice.
Letting me practice to make more complicated molds, like an entire head mask.
Nice.
That's cool.
That was another kind of a little thing I was going
to
hope
about some cowboy horns at some point.
Yeah, kind of work. That'd be neat.
Right?
Yeah, we'll just get some expanding foam for the
That's what.
Hand
that's
there.
What I have made my hand out of.
And then you'll really be a dickhead.
Hey-o.
We've been joking about with any of the duds that come out of the shop. We want to make a crown of dicks. Like, we just
no,
kind of want to
be
like a little halo, like a mercy kind of thing.
She can't call it Hellboy.
Well, I know. It would be the right fist of doom. That would be what you could call
it. That would be
the
amazing.
Hey boy.
Hey boy.
Hey.
That's amazing.
Heck boy.
I was hoping maybe you and Carissa were doing a little shopping, and it kind of happened
well,
that way.
We might
but
be now.
Yeah, you're going to get a discount card.
Well, I would not. I would give her full retail because that's cool.
Aww.
You'd
yeah.
give her what?
You'd give it to her full?
Yes, I hate you so much.
Her boyfriend's listening to this going, what the fuck?
He'd be like,
what's your cosplay page?
You can find it under Midnight Makeup. So MIDNUYT Makeup. And you'll see a lot of like my body painting stuff. So I'm a Mass Effect just trash. I'm a trash can of Mass Effect.
I will not call you trash.
I never would have put those two terms together in my whole life. I'm Mass Effect trash. Like trash is like.
Oh, I'm completely lost.
I don't
want to
say
bin.
Any of those things because I feel like that's like our listeners. So. comic
was that
book
a
trash.
Fart?
Holy shit!
Is that you? That's you.
Yes.
You're doing the body paint on
all
people.
All of the pictures on that page are me. So I kind of change appearance depending on how I do my makeup. There might be one or two people on there that aren't me. There's one that's like red, and she's kind of yeah. That's my friend Ray, who also does like cosplay and body paint and stuff. And she's phenomenal. But she let me body paint her, and that was a blast. I've got like an airbrush and everything. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I did jewelry making too for a small amount of time, but Midnight Makeup's kind of where I, on occasion, if I do any new cosplay, put it up there.
Very cool.
That's cool as shit.
So see, there you go. There's your story.
Nice. Wasn't as climactic as I wanted it to be.
That's for
you
want
to go upstairs real quick?
You can make it incredibly climactic.
Yeah.
Side note, the little things of lotion and lube that were in there,
yes.
I thought those were tea packets when you first brought them out. It's like, oh, that's cool. You could like relax.
Sexy. Tea bag for the tea bag.
Well, they have this. They have this stuff called tub tea that you can put in your bathtub, Husky.
I've used it. Mix his own.
Of course you have,
dude. It's like all the rage in New Zealand when I
nice. Husky's tub tea.
It felt so good.
Such a weird sentence you just said. It's real big in New Zealand.
It is. It's real big.
I was real big in New Zealand.
That's
the entire time, just purging.
Oh, please, God. That was amazing.
Happy over
it was tub tea.
Tub tea.
Tub tea.
So apparently I'm the only one that made notes for this show.
Yeah, you are.
Like,
yeah.
Does anybody have...
Dude, it's a sex show. I mean, do you need notes?
Well, yeah, because...
I just talked about...
This guy...
That I ate my wife's fart. Love you, Carissa.
You didn't need to say in this part. She's never going to see the other part.
But I need to have that out there, though. Because people are going to be like, wait, what?
Hashtag Carissa farts.
And now they're going to have to go to the Patreon.
Oh.
Yeah.
See?
Patreon.com/TOTLB. Join
merchandising.
In.
Merchandising.
You can hear all about...
All about how John ate his wife's fart.
His Schwartz is bigger than yours.
So when we talked about this, Juan was like, I don't want to just talk about dildos and stuff, so bring up pop culture
news?
Stuff that has to do with
sex.
Sex
news?
So I looked
so
stuff
Gabe's
up.
Gabe's the only one that's got
I'm
stuff.
I'm the only one that...
Hold on, I can find
I'm the only
stuff.
One whose browser history really needs to be deleted this week.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know if you guys watch Broad City, the show. It's on Comedy Central. It's about like these two girls that live in New York. It's kind of like a sketch comedy show. I think it's mildly amusing sometimes, but it's definitely more for like 20-somethings. Like, it's kind of like a younger people's show. Like, I feel like there's this point in comedy where, like, you only like the people that are kind of in your age group because you don't necessarily get the humor of, like, younger or older people than you. So, like, I think their show's amusing, but I don't, like, actively watch it. Right. But as I was looking at this, I stumbled across they are doing a line of dildos with this company, like, that are somehow tied into the TV show. But because they're, like, kind of like the young hipster, like, comedian kids, or they're not kids, they're like, you know, in their late 20s or whatever, all of their dildos are like 80s neon colors. Like, they're fucking hilarious looking, but they're doing everything, like, just regular, you know, regular bullets, regular dildos, strap-ons, but they're also doing like Kegel balls, vibrating cock rings, like, just the works. Like, if you can think of a sex toy, they're doing like a Broad City branded version of that sex toy. It's just, it's hilarious to
not
me.
The,
like,
Cayman.
Not the Cayman. No, regular, boring sex toys, not artisanal
craft.
Not artisanal craft dongers.
Dongers.
I'm going to have to change my name tag or my little quote under that.
Artisanal craft
handmade
dongers.
Handmade.
Handmade dongers. What's that?
ACDs.
That's right.
That's cool.
Man, another. So I know Juan told me not to just talk about dildos.
That's okay.
Why?
But I found lots of stuff about dildos. There's also a company called Ocean Dildos that harvests plastic from the ocean.
Okay.
Okay. And then, like, obviously they clean it so that, you
I
know,
would
you
hope
don't
so.
Die.
It smells like seaweed.
Yeah, like like trash plastic.
Makes you feel like you're at the fucking ocean.
So
you can get the
leave
beach
it long
hair
enough, make
in
a
the
pearl.
Beach.
Or a diamond, depending on how tight it is, I guess.
I mean, it'd take a lot of pressure, though.
Under pressure.
Kegels.
So anyway, they harvest, like, trash plastic out of the ocean, grind it down. Man, all I said was trash plastic. Like, calm down, Juan.
Hashtag twat burster.
You're putting trash plastic in your twat burster.
Conversation. This sounds wrong. But they process it, and they're making dildos out of trash.
Out of ocean trash.
So that,
that's a
you
huge
know,
problem.
They're doing, like, you know, environmentally
friendly
things that you also can, like, cram up your ass if you want. So,
but what about all of the concern about, like, the PET and the all of that stuff?
See, so that I don't know about. Like,
some chemical that's in plastic that can give you cancer.
Those are phthalates as well.
Okay.
But I wonder, like, if I feel like the concern with that largely has to do with, like, water bottles.
Sure.
You keep a water bottle, it's full of water, you keep it, like, in the fridge or, like, at your desk, like, all day. Like, you don't keep a dildo in you for, like, that long on average, I'm guessing.
I have one in me right now.
And it's buzzing away.
And it's been there for 3 weeks. No, I mean, I feel like there's less concern for exposure because
right.
you're probably not, like, I feel like you're not keeping
you're
it
like
in.
Gabe, it's like fucking 20 seconds.
He's like,
Shazam!
No, no, Shazam!
I'm yelling Shazam next time. I'm going to get in trouble, but it's going to be worth it.
You got to video it.
Video it? Are you kidding me? Where am I going to post that, John? Just to you?
One of us.
We can start our RedTube channel.
Thinking outside the long box RedTube. I trust me, you don't want to watch this.
Oh, there's an audience for everything. But
I feel like the audience that would be attracted to watching somebody my size having sex with somebody is not an audience of people that I want to talk to.
Or do you?
No. Oh. This is just trashy people like you guys.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's accurate. Oh, don't pretend
wow.
like you're
wow.
offended.
Wow.
That, you know what that's from?
No.
So
saying it over and over again.
Wow.
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 Somebody edited the fight scene from Phantom Menace, and every time lightsabers clash, they use an Owen Wilson wow.
Oh, I have seen that.
So it's like, wow.
And it's a...
wow.
It's amazing.
It's oddly calming.
It is.
Oddly calming.
Oh.
I wanted the mic to get some of that.
Oh man. So anyway,
it's amazing,
the,
right?
The Ocean Dildo place.
Well, do they have a name?
Well, yeah, they're literally dildo called Ocean Dildos.
Okay.
But their tagline is "Don't fuck the ocean, fuck yourself."
Oh.
So,
that's a good tagline.
I thought that was pretty witty.
I feel like they came up with that tagline and they're like, "What can we do with let's make dildos out of the ocean plastic."
Like, it's just an interesting idea.
It is.
Like, why not do something good like that? So,
very much so.
I mean, I have notes. Like, it's weird.
Go for it.
So I intentionally looked up a picture to post to the group or to the event page because I knew it would bother you.
Okay.
There is a whole line.
I don't remember seeing a picture.
Of H.P. Lovecraft inspired dildos.
Oh, I'm sure.
That are just octopus tentacles.
Yes.
And I went and found it. I posted it in the event, and I was really you never said anything.
I didn't see it,
so
I don't know that you did because you didn't. Did you see it?
I didn't see anything.
Huh? That's weird. So let's get your opinion.
Juan's over here looking at porn.
I am.
Let's get your opinion on this. I'm sure it's still on my phone.
Right.
It's called the.
This is good radio right here.
Artifact.
What do you think?
Yeah, I did see that.
I went to your Tumblr. And
oh, I know those guys.
I don't know what Tumblr does.
Those guys?
Tumblr is, you can pretty much do anything.
Well, yeah, so I went to the Tumblr because that's kind of where you said you had stuff. And all of a sudden I was looking at people, like I told him, people reviewing your stuff and no panties. And I was just like, I thought I was looking at product. And then all of a sudden I started looking at porn. I was like, what the hell is Tumblr? I don't know what that is. So it was.
How are you so naive?
Tumblr is like, Tumblr can be like the most.
I don't use those things.
Tumblr can be the most disturbing rabbit hole, though. Like,
oh, you'll get
really
lost.
Like completely inadvertently. Like, I was telling him I used to have a blog and I would do just like auto posts to Tumblr that was the same content. And I would get like a comment or a like or whatever. And I would go click on like somebody's profile because they said something. And it would just be like crazy things. Like just. Decapitated people or just like
it's
you know,
everything
yeah they're just like, people no. having
no
sex
idea
with animals and crazy
it's
shit
like the dark side of people
it's like the light side of the dark side of the internet
yeah. Yeah.
It's your gateway dark side
like it's yeah. It's like
stepping stone to 4chan
it's not like it's not quite dark web but it's as close as you're gonna get like searchably on Google
right.
Oh Justice comics and collectibles
$2 you'll get for it.
Yeah, we try not to include any actual like pornographic stuff of like in use on our page. The most that I have was our sex toy reviewer Alice Scary did a nice little photo set of her with one of ours in a strap on. So I think that's the only thing on our page that we've shared. If you found other stuff, that ain't mine.
Oh no, that's what he was saying. It was somebody
yeah.
that had
yeah,
like
it
reviewed
just,
it and like probably tagged it
that
in
was
the comments
probably
and stuff.
Alice. Yeah,
send me that link.
So at this point in the podcast, she's talking.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So real quick, since you're,
I told him he got all mad at me when I said something.
Why?
You're an asshole.
Seriously,
how dare you?
Not you, him.
It's me. It's always me. It's always me being angry.
John, you're my son, buddy.
No, you are so white.
Introduce yourself before these assholes like get on me.
Hi, name
Nobody's
is Shannon. I am the co-owner of Xenocat Artifacts. So just got done with my little interview. In the podcast here, and just
that'll be later
along.
In the show.
Yes,
so that's not confusing at
in
all.
In the future,
when will Vin be now?
Here with us,
we haven't said who else is with us.
Oh. I'm John.
Come on, we didn't even introduce ourselves. What did you do?
I don't know.
Beginning of the show,
everybody got excited. Anyway,
so,
Tim
I'm so
is
hard
here.
Right now.
Dom is here.
It's a sword
I'm
fight
so
over here.
Hard right now. Mike was here.
Mike,
I like the Dom just goes Dom.
Dom.
Everybody knows who he is.
Everybody.
So, yeah, creepy,
eerie science.
Tentacle.
Yeah, not
dildo,
a fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Like if I
plus
hit,
like
if I smacked you with one
that,
of those,
that doesn't look comfortable. Like you know, because the suction cups are protruding from the shaft.
Well, I mean,
if you're going
but,
at it in and out real hard, like I would think that would rub the wrong
chafe,
way.
Would it be a shaft?
Yeah. Right. A chafing shaft?
Yes.
Is that
doesn't
a thing,
sound
chafing no,
shaft?
It's not,
okay.
But it could
I was
be.
Like,
I mean,
because you've already used terms. You used terms in the interview where I was like, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what she's talking about.
What is?
Like the MFFF or whatever.
Midwest Furry Fest.
Oh, MWFF. That was it.
Sounds like a wrestling promotion.
It does.
I think it's just MFF.
It probably could be a wrestling promotion. Just furries. So
just a bunch of furries like beating each other up at a convention.
That could be like a subcon of the main con.
Welcome to a fur con.
I would watch that.
Oh, God, fur con. Horrible. I just imagine like Bush everywhere. Like, not even
like the band?
That's the wrong kind of fur.
Just Bush.
No, I mean like retro porn, like big old Bush.
Like styled Bush?
Sure.
You know how they like they shave poodles to make them look like lion manes? Like doing that? Like
little heart like or puppy.
Like
just
like
a cube?
The Pomeranians
like it's
that are
in a
cubes?
Box,
just like a dick in a box?
Just a dick in cubes?
Like an art competition?
Ugh.
I think we stumbled on something. I think we've stumbled onto something that we could make money here.
Like
side note,
topiary,
you know what else we need?
Pube art.
If I go Google sex news, there is not like a sex news provider.
Yeah.
There needs to be a thing.
So
that needs to be a thing.
That's kind of something that I stumbled on because I was trying to find like things that had to do with pop culture and sex. And
right.
So I looked up pop culture and sex on Google and it was like a travesty. Like
yeah.
it's just random bullshit and
porn
like nothing,
and
like,
dicks
really
and
there's
shitty
not,
Cosmo tips.
There's
yeah.
not like a sex news
outlet.
Anything. Like
yeah.
there's not a site for it or
we
anything
could start
like
that shit.
We probably could. This podcast
thinking outside
the box. Just the box.
Wink. Just thinking outside the box.
Wink. Oh, I gotcha.
I like that you're saying wink
well,
because of the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just funny because it's always wink, wink. Blink, blink. Oh, yeah.
But it's disappointing that there's not a place that I can go to get all of the weird sex news
no.
that's out there.
I know.
So I read about the show that...
just nothing.
That James Franco and Maggie Gyllenhaal are doing on
yes,
HBO.
Yes, The Deuce.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is... produced by the same guys that made The Wire. So, like, in general, like, the show sounds fucking fascinating because it's about, like, the porn industry
yep.
in the 80s or
yep.
70s.
It's an eight-episode fucking arc or something like that. It's just eight episodes.
Yeah. But it's George Pelicanos and, shit, the other guy that did The Wire. So, like, you know it's going to be well-written. You know it's going
to
be well-directed.
Right,
but I was actually planning on watching it tonight because...
It's out?
It airs tonight on HBO. So, dude, it looks fucking really interesting.
70s. Oh, it's not the good era. Good era had, you know, Jeremy, you got Ginger Lynn. Who else you have? Ember, I can't remember her name.
Rio Herrera.
He was the one with the bush.
He's just always wearing a little bowler hat.
Yeah. Reminds me of the guy from 007.
Yeah.
Odd job.
That was his porn name.
That's how he gets them.
Odd job Herrera.
What do you want to do? Odd job.
I'm going to have to take that video. Twice that same
thing. Yeah,
that's
of course.
How he gets his women. He'd, you know, he'd wing the thing and knock them unconscious. And then go
that's called rape, Tim.
Yeah.
Maybe he was statutory eight.
We found him.
Maybe Rio's statutory eight.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome because they won't know what the fuck that means.
I know
because
we didn't record that part either.
Oh, we may not have.
I don't think we did.
We should have recorded
after the interview.
I think that was on there.
No, The Deuce is actually in my notes. So they were like, it's weird because most of the news that I like listen to is on NPR because I'm driving and I don't want to listen to Rush Limbaugh talk about how hurricanes are fake. So I listen to NPR. Yeah, hurricanes aren't real, guys.
No.
It's like weather.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Fake news. Weather's fake news. That fucking weatherman distributing fake news all over the place.
Shit.
But so they were talking about it, and it's funny listening to like NPR hosts dance around like the word porn or dance around like
why do they do that?
Because
is porn not
like it's not high-minded intellectual to say porn. Like they always talk about the adult.
They do. I he made me listen to fucking NPR for an hour when we were driving to fucking to Colorado Springs, and I told him the same thing. I was like, they say like the most complicated words for like
normal words.
Shit.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Like they talked about
pretentious a-holes.
They talked about the era of the adult entertainment industry. Wow. I was like, dude, just call it fucking porn. Like, my God. Like, so it's just, it was,
they certainly aren't cunning linguists.
It was, oh.
Wish I had a soundboard.
I'll get you. Don't worry about it. You can't say it every time. I'll know when to put it in.
No, man, no, I wish, I'm going to say it had the every soundboard. Time.
Whammy.
Every time.
Get some.
Why do I have
power in the
But I'm
whammy.
Sound effect goes
wow.
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 That needs to be on the soundboard.
That's got to
be on the soundboard.
Yeah, it does.
So, couple.
The deuce.
The deuce, it looks really cool, and like the people that are making it are people that have made shows in the past that I really like. George Pell,
I like the actors.
Yeah, the actors, like, I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal and
so it's
James
based
Franco.
On the porn industry, but what is the
well the premise?
What's the premise?
So I honestly don't swinging. Remember. Like, I think it has to do with like kind of the rise of like women's liberation and how that fits into like the porn industry, like in general. That's okay. That's kind of what they made it sound like. It sounds like it's supposed to be like a really interesting and like kind of introspective show. They talk specifically about how, like, how do we avoid making, like, because they're trying to make something that talks about more of the negative aspects of the porn industry as it affected people at that time. So they talked about, how do we make this show that's about pornography but isn't all about, how do we make a show that's not make the sex titillating and the draw for the show? We want the plot to be the draw for the show. So it was like this weird balancing act between, obviously it takes place in the porn industry, so there's going to be like nudity and sex in it, but the nudity and sex shouldn't actually be the draw for the show.
So Wikipedia says, The Deuce tells the story of the legalization and ensuing rise of the porn industry in New York beginning in the 70s. Themes explored include the violence of the drug epidemic and the resulting real estate booms and busts that coincide with the change.
That's
kind
of cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of sick. Not sick.
So have you ever watched The Wire? So, like, The Wire is about drugs. It's about crack in Baltimore. And it explores the police. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't have to watch that.
So, like, part of the show is about, like, the
He's upper... He's taking it back here pretty soon.
Part of the show is about the upper echelon of the police, then the street-level police, undercover police. Okay. And then, NPR like, the here. Big, the big, like, money... Not dealers, but like distributors of the drugs, and then like the street level drug dealers, and then just like the kids. So it goes through all of it, like kind of in this wide ranging story. And my understanding is this is kind of written that same way,
okay.
Where it's exploring a bunch of different themes that surround like this one segment of time. Yeah. Like, honestly, if you like crime fiction, do your
Law and Order guys. So.
I know, but it's specifically about the 70s. But if you like crime fiction books, like George Pelicanos, the guy that writes this, writes these amazing crime fiction novels. Like, definitely worth checking out. So
they're upper echelon of crime fiction.
It's a normal fucking word.
So.
GPR.
Oh, I hate you.
This is how Hulk Mustard happened.
Governor Cuomo. He said something about how they want to sell the naming rights to some of the subway stations and some of the trains.
This will go poorly.
Yeah.
Red Tube put in an application.
And for
they want to be able to name subways and trains. And the quote is along the lines of, so people could ride the Red Tube.
Yeah, of course.
And they're not sure if they're going to get... If he'll allow them to do such, but that was just in the news this last week that they wanted to buy the naming rights instead of seats, it's just couches
with creepy guys and video cameras.
I'm not gonna pay anything. We're gonna do this, but I'm gonna promise you $5,000.
Then I'm gonna kick you out.
And then I'm gonna kick you out when you're done. Laugh about it. Put a disclaimer on the front of my video.
I feel like you've watched those too often.
Damn right I've watched them, man.
He owns them all.
Whole series.
On Laserdisc.
Okay, so like on Pandora, we get all sorts of weird ads on our Pandora at work.
Right.
Okay, so one of them that has been coming up fairly regularly is an ad for Adam and Eve, which is like a mail order, like, you know, adult toy video distributor, right? So they advertise, you know... buy, you know, for her, buy the dildo for $50 or whatever, and we'll send you a free toy for him and free DVDs, like porno DVDs. They call them like erotic DVDs, which you know they're not. You know they're like, you know, Tranny Horse 15 or whatever. Like some ridiculous thing that they just can't move off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like bargain
wow.
bin porn.
Wow. Yeah, it's like bargain wow. bin porn. Right?
We talked about that.
So, so here's the thing.
Don't buy porn on eBay.
In the era of internet porn, like you can go to RedTube, you can go to Pornhub, and you
Tumblr,
can
Tumblr apparently.
You can literally
Twitter.
You can literally find whatever you want to watch. Like whatever your thing is, you're going to be able to find it on the internet. Like why in the world do people still buy DVDs? Like why would you do that?
Now you're going to the same
Doesn't she work at a sex shop?
I do.
And comic books.
Yeah, same thing as comic books, music. You don't have to buy them.
Right.
However, do you want to support these people that are creating this art?
Well, no. I mean, that's a valid
I like how
point.
You just laugh, giggle like a little schoolgirl.
Because, I mean,
you want to support these people who jizz on everybody's listen, face.
But it is an art form. Like, somebody, I mean, we talk about this.
On people's faces is an art form.
I mean, you got to do it just right, or like it's going to go in the eye and you're going to get pink eye.
Starry night.
When I jizz on people's faces, I don't jizz from my teeth penis. I jizz from my heart.
No, I mean,
it's your heart love juice.
New hashtag.
You fit
That's
in
awesome.
Real well, just so you know. Like,
that is perfect.
So, like, we talk about that on the show. We may not appreciate, like, you know, X band, X comic book, whatever it is that we just personally don't like, but we do have to appreciate that somebody spent the time to fucking make the thing.
Right. Most of that is that Gabe doesn't like.
Well, yeah, everything is things I don't like. So, everybody else likes everything, Juan.
Now I'm curious as to his, like... What's your you go keep going. I got
well, no,
a question
so,
for you.
So like this
later.
Is this wow. is what's curious to me is like
real nice.
Like wow. like you said in my brain I'm like who the fuck wants porno DVDs like just stashed around in your house cuz nobody very few people
cuz you got to hide them.
Very few people have a life where they're displaying a shelf of porno DVDs like
why are you giving me a big box of porn Andy?
But I mean, you know, you got to hide them.
Boner Jams 08.
You got to find the time to like actually
Raven.
You got to find the time to actually like pop in the DVD
right.
and fast forward to the part you like, you know. Why not just look it up on the internet? But I guess that's right. There's got to be people that collect it.
Yeah, and
you know there's that guy
they're
that
obviously getting paid so they're you know,
yeah.
And they're still making it.
You know
so
there's a guy
somebody's
like,
buying
yeah,
it.
Is that one of the biggest industries?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
You know there's some guy that's like, "Man, I just need Hot Sluts Bukkake 13, and I have all 27
right. I've
of
got
them.
The complete
you know,
set.
Like,
absolutely.
You know there's a guy
It's like
out
a movie marathon,
like
Lord of the Rings marathon, but he's got the chips and queso in a sleeve.
He's sitting there with his fleshlight.
You're talking about Husky's like Thursday night over there.
Cheese lube.
Oh, from the can! Easy cheese, yes it is.
Easy
he's
cheese.
The queso king.
Oh my god, the easy cheese tubes, the things that you can just... Oh no!
That's where John goes.
Oh,
it is.
Anyway, your question for Gabe.
What is your like? What's your go to if you're in the mood to jack it? What do you go to? What's your
oh? Everybody's gonna get asked this question.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not gonna answer it by myself.
It's boring.
Pretty broad.
Yeah, me too.
I like missionary.
No, Juan likes to watch. Juan likes to watch Puritans just whip it out and do it real quick, and then they're done.
On Pornhub, what category would you go?
Closed female, nude male. That's what Juan's
actually,
is.
I just listen to biblical audiobooks.
Christ is the only love you need.
The power of Christ compels me.
John needs an old priest and a young priest. Man, probably like I definitely like stuff where people. So this is dumb.
Where people what?
where people? Where,
I'm on the edge of my seat over here. Like,
I like stuff where people wear costumes, and this is gonna sound like super dumb.
Like,
what's your cosplay page again?
Not necessarily cosplay. Well, I mean, I guess technically it's cosplay, but like nurse videos, secretary videos, like, and
so you like role playing.
I like role playing, and I like
This is going to sound so
stupid.
The pizza
delivery guy.
This is the part that's super stupid.
This pizza?
it comes with extra sausage. I like when there is a plot. Like, if there's a little bit of a story to it, I'm like, yeah.
So you were just talking about fast-forwarding to the important scenes.
No.
Gabe's, like, watching the whole thing.
I know.
Yeah, he's fast-forwarding through the porn to get to the story in the porno.
What happens next?
So it is garbage.
So there's this guy.
Really digging the lore on this one.
I think his name, I want to say his name is Rob Rotten. And he makes, like, horror movie pornos.
Okay.
Where, you know, like, zombies attack, or there's a dude like Leatherface, but when he catches you, he like fucks you instead of hacking you up with a chainsaw.
Really, like, deep
into
horror.
Like, that literally.
No, but I mean, that kind of stuff, if there's like a loose plot around it, I'm like, yeah, that's fun.
I'm in.
Have you watched any of the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah,
ones?
See, I've watched the Pirates of the Caribbean ones.
They've also got Game of Bones.
I watched the Batman one. There's a Guardians of the Galaxy. See, I love that stuff.
My favorite one was the Peter Pan one.
Which one?
Peter Pan.
Oh. That's probably
it's awful.
That's probably the term I'm looking for.
Awful,
is like the movie parody
awful
stuff.
Awful,
okay.
Amazing.
I love
okay.
that stuff.
All right.
It's funny.
All right.
I've never
like,
asked people
I,
to come
I
over
I like
watch porn.
Porn to be funny, too.
Sure.
Like,
until that.
I remember, okay, I got to tell this story. When I was with my ex-wife, she hated porn. Like, and was one of those people that's like, you get addicted to masturbating. I'm like, every dude is fucking addicted.
I have been since, like, I found my penis.
Yeah, I was like, yo, I'm doing this forever. So
I get paid to do
porn,
this?
Porn for me, when I was married to my ex, like, literally had to be hidden. Like, it had to be, like, secret, you know, delete the browser history, pretend like I don't ever watch pornography. Right? But I found this video.
It's a good boy.
Nope.
Why do you have so many copies of fucking The Fifth Element? Because there's different.
There's a lot of Fifth Elements, sweetie.
The fifth one, honestly.
I had found one that was like the girls of Walmart. It was like a Playboy's The Girls of Walmart.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't feel like those were females.
No.
It was like nurse.
It was like Clerks and stuff like that. But
pajama pants. Tight nude colored leggings.
Rascals.
Chicks on Rascals. No, so it was Playboy.
Putting them in reverse, putting them back in drive. It was putting them in reverse, putting it back in drive.
It's John, like one of those fucking.
While John's not here, come sit here now. So I picked it up because that was so hilarious to me. I was like, chicks of Walmart. So I bought it. I watched it. It was a Playboy movie. So it was basically girls taking their tops off. You know, yeah. It wasn't a big deal. But when my ex found it, she fucking lost her mind. Okay, she started screaming at me. She's going crazy. She's like, why would you buy that? You know, do I not satisfy you sexually and blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, that's not it.
Walmart.
I was all, this is fucking hilarious. Like, and if you can't see the humor in this, like, this is why we're getting a divorce. Like, I mean, it was just so funny to me. And so going back to before, like, I like porn parodies because, yeah, I get a jack off, but also fucking hilarious. Like, he's Jack Off Sparrow. That's amazing.
I'm right. going to have to see if I can find that Peter Pan one that I have because I bought it. And if I have it, I'm going to drop that off to you guys. Oh. You guys have to watch it and do a live stream of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the best thing ever.
That reminds me of a...
He sings to her and everything.
I see five guys just milling around going, God damn it. I can't do anything.
Do you know
here.
Who that is?
No.
Okay, cool.
What the hell?
I watched
some guy
it.
Who got excited, getting excited about your interview.
Nice. So I...
it's a random dude on Twitter.
So I watched...
Like, excited or like...
He's all like...
Maybe a little bit of both.
Oh, gosh,
talking about live streaming us watching a porno, there's this Impractical Jokers where they have to do the thing where they walk up to a stranger and try to get the stranger to, like, acknowledge that they know them. So he walks up to the guy, and he's all, hey, don't I remember you from the... And Joe holds up a sign that just says Circle Jerk. And he's all, from the... Nah, never mind.
I don't know you.
I don't know you.
Like, lost first round.
All right, here we go. What's your go-to?
Now nobody answers, so Gabe's the only one that answered.
For me, it's more visual. So I need to, like, see stuff happening. I need to know what's going on. Like, I like seeing, like, titties bounce. I like seeing, like...
Who was that?
I don't You know, the dick just come going
out. There's no dicks hanging out.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's, no, I'm saying that.
You like the close-up.
Yeah, I like the close-up, and I like the titties bouncing. I'm pretty basic. Vanilla when it comes to my porn.
Juan.
Yeah.
Juan. He's a lotus.
Yeah.
I love to watch people eat tacos.
The fucking carne asada is just all over.
Ah, yes. See?
It's like, I don't even need to go online. Just
watching the microwave go around slowly.
Aye, like, Bobby Flay.
at least you didn't say Guy Fieri.
I want to ride you all the way to Flavortown.
Oh, God, no.
So you're here. So you're trapped in this.
I have no shame. I love tentacles.
Yeah.
Wow,
yes,
you're John. Holy she's shit. John's nightmare.
She's in the tentacles, bro.
No, I dig it. I love tentacles, and I also, I've got a whole list of shit. If I go through that, you're gonna have like a 4 hour long podcast.
We always have a 4 hour.
An extra 4 hours of me just recapping all the dirty shit I'm into.
That still wouldn't cover it.
Flapjack nipples.
You got flapjack nipples?
No, I got little baby nipples.
What about like
little baby nipples?
I do.
John Rand was on his way back here to see what was happening. Her with the conversation.
Oh no, he's gonna come contribute. Okay,
sure. So he's gonna come contribute.
Tentacles. I really like cream pies, stuff like that. So, kind of my stuff.
I mean, who doesn't like a good cream pie?
Right? I'm a DP John's guy.
A DP guy.
Yeah.
I like watching DP.
DVDA?
DADV.
DP in the same hole or DP in...
DP with
from Orgasmo, you assholes.
I know. We're going to talk about that later.
Once. Okay.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you hate everything good. I hate everything good, too. It's your turn.
For my
the kinky things, what'd you get up to?
Lesbian stuff and threesomes.
Lesbian threesomes?
Sure.
Yes. Two dudes and one girl? Two girls and one dude? Doesn't matter? A transgender and two girls?
FMF or FF?
That's right.
FFT?
FTM?
Transgender.
Sure.
Why not? Sometimes
what's your go-to porno?
No, you got to come over here. Now you're
both of you.
Both of you. We've already... You don't even need to say your name. We'll say it for you.
If you're just in the mood to...
These just random customers of Hall of Justice. Yeah, you're like, I got 5 minutes. I got to get this out of. I got to get the demon out of me.
That's right.
Be gone, little ghost baby.
Got to get the devil. Got to get the devil out.
Got to get the baby batter out.
What's your go-to?
Spider-Man.
Two ladies.
Yeah.
Two ladies
is good.
Okay. We had this discussion.
Mine was plot based, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, he got into like women of Walmart.
I like the.
He was telling a whole story and shit.
Like the movie parodies. Chicks dressed up as nurses or like secretary. When I was a kid, it was the teacher thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
That can still be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know you're going to get involved in this kind of conversation?
Oh, yeah. I came here. I make dicks.
We interviewed her.
Yeah, this is all pretty...
Yeah, we stopped.
You have the chance to win that.
Okay, so here's...
Yeah, we got a bunch of fun little guys.
Oh, I think we're telling stories, right? That's what we're doing?
It's got a fuzzy on it. It's been...
So it's episode 69.
No!
So it's the sex episode. So here's the next question. John, the kind of trails on that, and we'll go around and do this.
Okay.
She wanted to know how you win.
Oh, we're gonna do.
We move from that conversation? She wanted to know how she could win this.
So we're gonna have people either people are either gonna call us on the hotline and tell us their best sex story, or leave us like a Facebook.
You can
post.
If you don't want to tell people who you are, you can email it to me.
Yeah, that's totally
because some people are kind of weird about that. So
it's the excess of what?
Oh, it's just the silicone.
Yep.
Please.
So,
you want one?
Oh, there's like kids too.
Stephanie's saying she wants one. Please.
Oh, apparently we're throwing names out now. Thanks, Doc.
She said she didn't care. You said you'd know who they were.
She said she didn't care, John. Who was that?
It's
just sex. Everybody does it. You know.
Well, what's funny is like, so I talked a little bit about that. Wow. Like my ex-wife, like, was definitely one of those.
It's not as stabby as it looks.
That's the one,
That's no. The with that last
she did say it's not no, as stabby as it looks.
It was this one, I think.
Last. Yeah, this is the...
And that's the one you can wear.
It's like a stress doll.
It is like a little stress thing, yeah. So I was going to ask John this, but he disappeared. But, like, everybody has a go-to site. Like, what's the place that you go? Like, some people...
Tumblr.
Know, RedTube.
Oh, that truth. That is
I got a side blog. Nobody knows about that one.
That is a dangerous place it's to roulette, access man. Your porn. Like, Tumblr. Oh. Tumblr's a good way to, like...
This is a bunch of GIFs, though.
Tumblr's a good way to make
it. Is it GIF or GIF?
Oh, no. We're not starting this.
No.
We're not
going to
get
it. Is it Giphy peanut butter? No.
Because everybody says it.
It's the little moving pictures. Yeah. No, so what's your go-to site?
He said. Oh, site?
Oh, site. Pornhub.
Pornhub. Yep. Me too.
Yeah.
I like their layout.
It's easy. It's easy to
navigate. What the fuck does that mean?
It's
oh, okay.
It works good.
It doesn't
on my
redirect
phone.
You to 18 other web pages.
Yeah, there's very few pop-ups. Like, yeah, it's just a well-designed
really
site.
Done.
Yeah.
But yeah. Pornhub as a company in general is pretty awesome. Have you seen all the like publicity stunts and stuff that they've done?
And they do like some. They do. They have a page that's literally just like sex education and stuff. Like,
all right.
This is always the problem with recording here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all right. They can't hear us.
Oh God, I wasn't here for that. So
yeah, there's a lot of tips for that one.
So let's find some other topic.
Well, no, this is the topic. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about like the dirty comedies, because like I brought that up. Yeah, like so like the what they call midnight movies or whatever. So I watched Baywatch this weekend.
Oh, so funny.
Freaking hilarious. So many dick jokes. Like,
oh, you mean like
So
the Rock one.
Yeah, no, the one that one. But I was thinking a movie that it just popped in my head and just popped back down.
So like,
heyo,
swiggity swiggity.
So, movies like that or like
this is kind of creepy. I don't know what's going on
here.
Just
keep driving slowly and push the table over.
Like Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
That was an okay movie. It wasn't it wasn't that.
So
it was okay.
That's a Kevin Smith movie.
I know.
Isn't it?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Like I was trying.
Like American Pie.
Or yeah, like American Pie. Like what? What's your guys' favorite, like, kind of like sex romp comedy?
Oh, my God. Well, there's so many now.
That's too chick flicky for me. I don't watch those.
So you're talking about, like, that specific type?
Yeah, like, just like a...
I'd go back to an 80s one, like Bachelor Party or something.
There you go.
Oh, that is a good one.
That movie.
Or Meatballs was really funny,
Meatballs
too.
Meatballs was funny. Porky's.
I don't have anything in mind.
Oh, my gosh, original you're going old school.
Oh, yes, one second.
Food?
Yes.
Yeah, me too,
So hey, you want to take us to a break or something?
Yeah.
I mean, just gonna walk away.
We're breaking.
Sure. We'll be back.
Okay, bye now.
This is Butch and Adrian, 3 and 20. You're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, Gangster.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliette Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk, and it works. I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at people.
right, and then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time!"
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
We'll get yelled at. We'll both get yelled at. We're recording.
And we're back.
Come on, Dom. Come on, sexual super freak. Over here. Where are you going?
Why aren't you sitting at the mic?
I need to move my knee every now and then.
No, but...
Oh, because...
Just move your chair and kick your knee out a different way.
Oh,
why
man.
Did you have to? I'm not even gonna ask.
You know what was hilarious on the new episode was the thinking outside the long box after hours,
hours, hours, hours.
So, I had two bits of Stephen King news.
Ooh,
they released a Gerald's Game trailer this week. I don't know. It fits into the track of the show. I don't know if you're familiar with the plot of Gerald's Game, but it's this lady that kind of has a troubled marriage, but But she, oh nice, it looks good. She goes to like a cabin retreat with her husband. Okay, and he's all, yeah, you know, trying to save the marriage. Let's get kinky. He handcuffs her to the bed. They get in an argument while they're having sex. And he has a heart attack and he freaking dies. And she's like stuck to the bed. And that's like kind of the plot of the movie. So
her trying to get out?
Yeah, like her trying to get out of the bed and the there's nobody bed? Around.
Wood frame?
Wood frame.
Stool.
Oh, yeah. Dom's like, been there.
Or is it
true? No, I wish.
But yeah, it's a really good book. It'll be interesting to see where the movie goes. The movie, I believe, is a Netflix movie, so it probably can get pretty...
And what's it called again?
It's called Gerald's Game.
Okay.
Gerald, obviously, being the guy that dies, so...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's in the fucking trailer, man.
Like, spoiler alert.
Ruined the whole thing Damn. For me now.
For the record, Can't it's like it. Page 8 of the book.
Would
so.
You like to play a game?
And then, so, man, I wish Michael Kirk was still here because he's read It. And, like, he told me he had read it like 5 or 6 times. But at the end of It, Beverly, the main female protagonist, the kids are like the boys are all like kind of worked up and freaked out. And she figures the only way for them to calm down is if they have sex. And so she has sex with all the boys that are in the book. Okay. Like one at a time. What's that?
The face.
Oh.
Like she has sex with all the boys and he just goes.
Like, so, so every
not me, I promise.
Like, so obviously in the made-for-TV movie, they didn't put that scene. And there was a lot of debate if it would be in the new movie because it's rated R, it's in the theater, all this other stuff. And obviously they left it out because you can't have, like, prepubescent kids, like, having sex in a movie. Like, that's called pedophilia. It's fucking illegal as shit. But so there's this, like, idea that somehow... I don't know. It's like it's just really been interesting to read people's opinions. Like, why didn't they include it in the movie? Or thank God they didn't include it in the movie. And reading people getting to that point in the book and being like, what the hell? Like, why is this even in the book? But when you read the book, it like comes across in like a very weird, organic way that kind of makes sense. I don't know. It's,
orgasmic?
I guess this would have been a better conversation with Michael Kirk, but because he's actually read the book. But... I don't know. It's just it was an interesting little tidbit that like this really kind of pivotal scene in the novel is going to get left out of pretty much any film iteration of this movie that ever gets made because you just it's like an unfilmable thing. Like
right.
In the book it's not overtly sexual. It's very like intimate and she has like, you know, she thinks back on her past with like each guy as she's having sex with him and like the memories and stuff and I don't know. It's just
I didn't know that was
Yeah,
I never read it, so.
It's at the very end of the book, so like by the time you get to it, you're like, Jesus Christ, I'm already like 1,100 pages into this, so I'm just going to keep going. So, but, you know, the way it happens in the book, it still is kind of like a, oh, that's weird, but it makes sort of sense in that kind of Stephen King sometimes pigeonholes weird things into his books. You're like, I guess that makes sense. You know, I'm going to go for it. Like, again... I've already read 1,100 pages of this. I might as well finish the last 300. But, I don't know. There you go. That's it. That's pretty much it for my notes, too. So
that's no good.
Why is that no good?
Because nobody else has anything to talk about.
Is Juan still on Tumblr?
I'm still surfing Tumblr.
Are you really? How's that going?
I'm trying to look up sex news.
Are you on the watch list yet?
I'm already on some sort of watch list.
You're like, that's weird. I just got a text message from Department of Homeland Security saying I can't be on airplanes anymore.
Illegally concealing a dildo.
So I had...
Wow.
Could be used as a weapon.
Could be. It's stabby.
It is stabby. We did talk about it being stabby.
Stabby looking.
So here's one thing that I was going to bring up. I was actually going to do this for the Patreon video, but I like the other one a little better. What's the first movie... sex scene that you saw where you're just like, oh yeah, that's hot. Like, because I know that I saw movies that had sex scenes or like at least like, you know, girls with their shirts off and stuff before like I was old enough to really understand or be excited by it. But I remember watching Hackers and when Angelina Jolie unzips like her motorcycle suit, I was just like, oh, Jesus, God, I'm a man now.
Like, doink, yeah. Drop.
I'm going back a lot of years, though. I can't think that far back.
I mean, being 80, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is. I want to go to Juan on this one because I can't think.
I don't remember.
Juan doesn't believe in sex.
No, I don't remember. What? I don't remember the last. The I mean, I don't. Buddy, I don't know. I remember seeing Eyes Wide Shut and going, "Holy fuck!" But well, never. That's never, oh my god, that makes me turgid. But
no, I mean, like if you guys have put it on my page, it's like, oh well. But that,
yeah,
mystery type.
Yeah.
Right.
Thing going on in the cotillion type scenario. That just was weird.
Yeah, it was super weird.
You guys get mad at me for saying echelon, and you don't fucking give him any shit for saying cotillion?
No.
No, sophisticated.
Oh, man, fuck you guys.
He's actually sophisticated.
You're not allowed to talk shit to him.
I've been cornered.
No, it's awesome.
You cornered.
So are you talking about one that's just totally dirty in your brain or something just really...
It just...
That's like, what I... That I can't remember like, a time so where I was like, oh, is, yeah.
No, but I don't mean that. I mean, like, that moment where you're just like, whoa. Like, that can happen in a movie. Like, I remember there was a moment, too, and when I was reading Salem's Lot when I was a kid. I read Salem's Lot when I was in, like, fourth grade. And there's, like, a really intense sex scene in that book. And I was like, whoa. Sex is in books?
In school?
Like, that is crazy. Like, they're like,
well, I mean, we watched the Titanic in school and they had to tell us about that.
Like, what's that? But there's got to be like that pop culture thing where you're just like, whoa, holy crap.
I got one. Buddy, I'm the youngest of five. I've been watching shit that makes me go, holy crap, ever since I was like 3 years old.
One that sticks out in your brain. How about that?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There's a couple episodes in True Blood. Mm. With what's I can't the girl that plays Rogue, I was just like, wow, it really got something going.
Yeah,
and usually it doesn't happen in for movies and stuff like that for me, other than porn movies.
Well, yeah, those are made for that. Yeah, though. Those are that's made different. For that. But like, I mean, there's
well, I was
there's,
really intrigued by it.
There's movies right. with sex scenes where you're just like, oh yeah, that's happening. Like it's a thing. It's part of the movie. It's not a big deal. But then there's moments where you're watching like a movie and you're like, oh, it moved. Like yeah, exactly. Holy shit. Yeah. That's hot.
I was a couple of those episodes. I'm
going to need to pause this later.
I need to download those scenes.
Mental.
I can't tell you how upset I was when I was like a 12-year-old boy and realized that when you pause a VHS, all those shitty lines are right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just say.
Hovering there,
like,
shaking.
Yeah, you're like, moving. Oh, I just want a clear picture.
He was the guy who was looking at the fucking the white noise trying to make out.
That's a boob.
All right, so... When I was young, the movie that everyone started talking about in school was it Starship Troopers?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like communal shower.
Yeah.
So they have co-ed showers.
Yeah.
I've seen the
I don't movie. Think it's anything sexual, though,
it's
right?
Not.
It's nothing sexual. No, nothing.
Like, I remember being with like all of my guy friends like riding bikes and being like, "Do you see the scene where all the boobs are in it?" And like everyone like
I forgot about
started getting
movie.
Like our weird little kid boners. And that was like the one movie that like everyone like kept watching on repeat for that.
It's not scene. they're literally just having a conversation about these fucking aliens and their mission and stuff, but it's nothing weird. It's just they're naked. Just all naked. Yeah.
So you
like that's so like that was one of my favorite scenes in Baywatch was when he's taking the shower and she comes in and she's talking to him, so embarrassed cuz he's naked. And then at the end of the conversation she's like, "Oh, and by the way, when we shower, we typically wear our swimsuits." The two people come in with their swimsuits. He's like, "Oh my god." That guy's hilarious. He's my favorite character in the movie.
I need you to look at the taint.
That movie was funny as fuck. I don't know what's wrong with you people.
People keep driving by. What's and waving.
Just wave at them.
That was Chris.
Just be friendly.
Oh, was it?
I think so. She has a van, doesn't she?
No. She doesn't have a van.
It's like an SUV.
Yeah.
So, you and I think we're kind of the same age. I don't know.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
Yeah, I'm about 10 years older than you.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I think I just turned 49.
Nice. I know. I'm the same way. So I've seen.
You didn't ask the lady, by the way.
Well, you don't.
You just skipped her.
What about?
Oh, about the.
No,
sex.
Not about her age.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want
to. The movie.
Hold on. Let me grab these. I need
something. 23. Damn it.
I need something to squeeze. Yeah,
the pop culture thing where you turned it on. You're like, oh, whoa.
So. Okay, I've got my favorite one that I saw when I was younger. We were watching the movie called The Fountain. It's got Hugh Jackman in it, and it's like a really weird, like, self-awareness.
It's from the same guy that did It's Darren Aronofsky movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a scene where Hugh Jackman and his wife or whatever in that are having sex in a big claw-footed bathtub. And I'm like, because they like start getting really into it and it's like overflowing the water over the side of the bathtub. And I'm like, that's really hot. And that was the first one I was like, bing. Like,
and messy. I would hate to clean up after
awesome.
That.
But I've got a really bad habit.
Dongers.
ACDs.
I've got a really bad habit of walking in at the wrong time. And I've always had that like my entire life. And I was a lot younger than that. And it's run the girl with the dragon tattoo. That movie. Have you guys watched that one?
I have not.
Oh, God. Okay. There's a scene where she gets a hold of one of the rapists that made her do a bunch of bad stuff. And she tattoos, like, rapist pig or something on his chest, and she, like, drugs him up. And she takes a dildo, and she kicks it up his ass twice.
Now, is this the American version?
The other one.
The real?
Yeah, the real version.
The real version.
And so we started referring to it as the girl who kicked twice.
wow.
Because I walked in, and I was like, that's weird. It was like a really, really violent fight scene. I'm like, okay. So I go upstairs. I, like, take a shower, and I come back down, and literally I hear, oof! And I see this guy getting a dildo kicked up his ass. And I'm like, what the hell? So my family, they were like, you wouldn't understand at this point. I'm like, no, I won't.
I do not.
So, I will, though. I will.
I have to explain like the whole movie and how that happened. I'm like,
I've got to
right.
see that then. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, the I think it's a Swedish version.
Yeah,
the Swedish version is really intense, but it is good. I like it better than the American one. Not because she kicks
twice. The American, is that a movie? I thought they were doing a...
It's books and a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I was going to ask you. So, and I know that I'm not alone in this. Like, that this is a phenomenon that happened a lot, especially, like, in the 80s. So when I was a kid, there's this thing called the Bird Sanctuary, okay? So there's a park, and then there was, like, a little path that went through, like, an intentionally... wooded area, like that they had left wooded so that birds could live in there, which is a stupid idea because birds can live just wherever.
Yeah.
But it was like intentionally kept kind of like wetlandsy, whatever. And there's a path and there's all sorts of like weird little places that you could hide. Obviously, like teenagers had like drug mattresses and sofas down in there and stuff. But you could always find a couple penthouse or a couple Playboys. Like, and I know that this is like a thing that you
like
could find porn just like hidden out in little forested areas all over the place. You remember that?
I grew up near a creek in Lakewood, and there was always these little spots. I don't know if it was homeless people or just
kids. Yeah,
just build forts in this creek area where there was trees, and you would always find penthouse. It was always Playboys majority of the time, but
yeah,
you'd always find that stuff. It used to be common.
To find porno in the woods.
Porno in the woods, yeah.
Pretty sure that's where I found my first porno mag.
So weird.
And as a kid, you didn't care about what was on it, I don't think. We would just start looking at it. And when we had a treehouse, there's just had a stash of it. I don't even know where we got it, come think about it. We had stacks of these things.
Well, I used to shoplift them a lot, like shoplift a lot of porno.
Did you?
Because, like, you couldn't, like, you were a kid, you know, you're, like, 13, 14 years old or whatever. You couldn't buy it. But, like, I remember... it's like B. Dalton or one of those bookstores that like just doesn't even fucking exist anymore, or Walden Books or something. They had one at the mall, and like they had, you know, here's all like the horror movie magazines, here's all the Cosmo, here's all this. But like in the top shelf, they just like straight up had like Penthouse, Hustler, Playboy. And then of course, right in front of it was the tattoo magazines,
right?
You know, whatever. So low I would
rider.
Like I would grab
roughly porn.
Lowrider.
Lowrider, yeah.
I grew up was Lowrider. There's Lowrider on there.
But too. I would grab like a couple of them, you know, stick them in the leg of my pants, and I would shoplift like a ton of porno when I was a kid.
I did candy bars.
I did candy bars too. I also this is like your true nerd colors though. I used to shoplift a lot of books. I would like actually steal like novels.
Mine was Star Wars figures.
Oh yeah,
and I got
G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, it's making me feel like a good kid.
Oh,
I was so terrified to steal shit. I got a talking to, you know, those little rubber grippy things that they put on the end of hangers, like the little things. I had one on my finger and I found it on the ground and I was playing with it and my mom was like, "You better put that back. They're gonna get you." And I was like, and so like it shocked me for the rest of my life. I was shook. So like I've never had the desire to steal anything because the repercussions are always worse than what it's worth.
I grew up in a bad neighborhood. We used to break into houses and all kinds of crap.
My dad had to put something in my closet one time, and he opened it, and there was a stack of, like,
80 novels and like, you know, 20, 30 porno mags and like, you know, just a bunch of shit like that. And my dad's like, where did you get the money for all this stuff? I was like,
I sold drugs.
You know,
turn tricks on Colfax.
Yeah, you just can't think of fast enough.
You didn't give him the typical Mexican answer. I was mowing lawns.
I told him my allowance. He's like, I don't give you that much allowance. So where'd you get this stuff? And then he made me go to like the stores that I stole it from and like take them back, apologize to the manager and stuff. That's probably when I stopped stealing shit.
Yeah,
but that'll do it.
I was like in sixth grade or something like that.
I am getting all fussy over a hanger coat thing.
You saying that, it's like it brings back a lot of memories of just going through. There was like certain areas we would go blocks and blocks down this creek area, and there was like little areas of people sectioned off in back of like old warehouse buildings that would,
yeah,
like a little fort area, and they would every occasionally you'd run across stuff like that, or it's just weird spots you'd run across.
I would always feel bad because I would want to take it home. But I didn't want to take somebody else's like porno stash because I would know how upset that. I would have been.
That's funny.
This is so weird.
I remember
I live in the country. I can't hide anything in a cornfield. I'll never find it again.
Right. I remember we used to trade
through
too.
The freaking machine.
Like, yeah,
I have the Kathy Ireland Playboy. I'll trade you for the
what the hell is this?
You know, for the Cindy Crawford Playboy, that kind of stuff, or like this one job,
the China one.
I'm trying to think the one.
She was gorgeous back then. I thought she was gorgeous. I thought she looked good back then.
I remember
Stoya, but I don't.
Shauna Grant.
I think she's a playgirl.
Do you remember Shauna Grant?
Right, that was the big one.
The which one?
Sable.
God,
that was a good. Every year, so for like it was like 7 or 8 years, they would choose one of their wrestlers to go into Playboy, and so it was never a new one every year.
Trish Stratus, did they?
No.
Damn it.
She said something to the effect of like she had younger cousins or siblings or something, and she didn't ever want them to be exposed to it.
I remember trading too. Like we did a lot of like little porno trading.
I don't know that's something I'd want to trade, especially as a younger kid.
It's weird. Like I didn't have hang-ups about sex until I was an adult. Like when I was like in middle school and stuff, it didn't bother me. And then when I started going to high school and went to Christian school, and everybody was like, "Sex is evil. Never have sex."
No, but I mean, I'm just saying for like sticky pages and things like that. I don't know that I'd want to trade with anybody.
I don't think when I was like in middle school, I don't even think I really understood it that way so much. Like it was just kind of. Like, I don't even think I'd, like, jerked off till I was, like, 14 or something like that.
And I was way ahead.
I was just like, oh, yeah, this makes me feel good.
I was climbing
good.
A pole, and then I was like, what the heck just happened down there?
I was dry like, this makes me feel good, but I didn't know what to do with it, you know? Pulling a pole.
Yep.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird.
Porno in the woods. It's a thing. It's happening all the time.
I've never seen such a thing. Cabin in the woods.
Yeah,
pretty entertaining.
Better than Cabin in the Woods.
Hey,
I'll tell
fuck
you
that
much.
That awesome.
That movie. Okay, so I had a guy trying to take me out on a date, and we were watching this movie, and he was like sitting there all like, "She can hold my hand," and like I was making fun of it the entire time, and I felt like such a dick because I'm like, "What the hell just happened? These guys are so freaking stupid. What the hell is even going on?" And he was just like, "You could just watch him get crushed," and I didn't realize I did that to him until afterwards because he was all open. I'd be like, "Oh man, this is spooky." And no, I oversalted it.
I saw this amazing video on Facebook that reminded me so much of my daughter that was kind of that way. They're driving down the street and the guy goes, "Hey, check out the signs on the side of the road." And she's reading them. "Will you go to prom with me?" What kind of fucking idiot asks somebody to go to prom like that?
That is the stupidest
thing. And you just see the guy like crestfallen and he like, hands her this sheet of paper that has a question mark on it because that was like kind of like the end.
Aww.
And she's like, "Oh my god, it was you! I'm so sorry." Just is like,
he's crushed,
like her eyes out, and he is just completely crushed. Like, aww. I was like, "Oh man, I'm so glad I'm not
That's
in
kind of
fucking
a cute
high
idea,
school
though.
Anymore."
Like,
it's a really good idea. It was a really
I was asked
idea
to prom over text message, and then I got dumped on prom.
Oh, Jesus.
So I got an impromptu date.
I told my daughter, I was like, "This is you. Like, you're going to accidentally insult your boyfriend when he asks you to prom." She's like, "Yeah, I will." Oh, man. I don't know. I don't have any more notes, and Juan was done looking stuff up. Do we want to take a quick break and then come back and talk about
orgasmo?
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll go to break, and hopefully we can get John to come talk with us about our pop culture classic, Orgasmo, and then we'll keep talking. So,
uncanny slapping sounds in the background.
And then old man, do we have an old man pick? Do you have an old man pick?
I can make an old man pick. Cool. Yeah. Probably should have been Porno in the Woods, but yeah.
Let's take us out.
All right.
This is cartoonist and illustrator Xander Cannon, and you're listening to Outside the Long Box.
Hello, I'm Albie.
And I'm Heather.
And we do the Quantum Leap Podcast. It can be found at quantumleappodcast.com and also on iTunes.
We are starting at the beginning of Quantum Leap and going through all the episodes. This is my first time watching, and Albie has seen them during their original run.
In each podcast, we talk about the overall thoughts of each episode. We do an episode recap if you haven't seen them in a while, just to refresh your memory. And then we do a detailed plot discussion.
And we also have some great interviews.
Scott Bakula, I remember being very, very generous of spirit and very, very kind to his fellow actors. It was my first kiss ever. So I am getting to kiss Scott Bakula on screen.
And everybody involved with it was just terrific. And I'm always amazed that people come up to me and remember that episode and can quote things from it that I can't even quote.
So if you're a leaper, it'd be great if you came and joined us. And if you've never heard of Quantum Leap, it's maybe a good time to start watching it because you have a podcast to go along with it.
So please give our podcast a listen, and hopefully you like us and stick around.
Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen to new episodes.
Like, so tell me about that dog.
See, I heard the hair.
That might be
up,
a like, whole different kind of story.
If we maybe I'll lead it on that way. They're gonna be like, so you make fantasy toys and what about a dog?
He came so hard.
And was recorded. So we're live right now.
All right, so everybody, welcome back to the show. We have Shannon from Xenocat. Yeah. Novelties, is that?
Xenocat Artifacts is what we're going with here.
Sorry, my bad. She makes dildos. Like, I don't think we really need to do anything except for cut to the chase on that one right there. Because
I was...
Oh, God. Thank God Smitty doesn't listen to this show.
Wow.
Oh, man. I'll get to that in a little bit. But, okay, so we like to start all of our interviews with, like, a very basic, like, what's the origin story of, you know, the project you're working on or whatever. But how in the world did you end up making like custom made dildos?
You know, I wish
do
I
you,
could say.
Do you
that.
Call them? Do you cut to the chase right away when you talk to people, or are you talk? Do you call? Because we had this discussion. Like, I don't know. Do I just say dildo? Do I say adult toys?
You know, I just say they're dongs, dildos, dingles, dongers.
I it's, may adopt the dong.
Dongers is my personal favorite. I make silicone dongers. Nice. It kind of breaks it up a little bit for people. It's not as hard to bite down. No.
I'll put it in.
No, he won't.
I have. Let her talk.
That's why I do my interviews by myself. Anyway, how did you get started making dongers?
So, I've been working in the adult industry for a couple of years now, and I was the assistant manager at a Fascinations out here in Denver. And, you know, I started realizing that there is a bunch of alternative toy makers that wanted to do something a little bit different. So you're not getting your standard fleshy, kind of creepy, uncanny valley, you know, other kind of dicks that you'd get at some of the stores. And then I have known about Bad Dragon for a long time, and I was kind of wondering what is involved with that kind of process. And so I looked into it, and I realized, holy cow, I could actually make this work. We've got quite a little team of people in my friend's group, and currently our Xenocat team is built of four people. So me, I go by Airy, Airy the Shadow Cat, kind of where the Xenocat thing came from. And I do the lead pouring and sculpting. So I do all the design work. If I do like a marbled silicone pattern, I'm kind of the person in the shop that handles that. My partner he goes by Ink, or his name is Sean. He is the co-owner with me, and he is also on the IT side. So he does computer programming, so he's going to be working on the IT end of it. So we're building our website from the ground up. He also helps me in the finances, and then he also helps me with pouring in the shop, too. We've got a secondary computer programmer, and she also helps us book events. Her name is Ara, and she goes through, and she'll contact different events that we could probably vend at. So we've got MFF coming up in December, and then...
I don't know what MFF is.
Midwest Fur Fest. It's held in Illinois, and last year...
Oh, that sounds like a
nightmare to me. Lots of suit heads, very hot, toasty from what I hear. But there was 7,500 people that attended last year, and I hear that Bad Dragon's going to be there as well. So our first convention, we're going up against the big guys already, so it's a little intimidating.
I was going to just ask that.
Gotcha. Bad Dragon is a established fantasy company, and they've been doing this for years. And so if you've ever seen, like, the giant horse wankers online, they're the guys that make those.
We have.
Yes. Yeah. So we're if there have been many discussion about those, that's where they come from. And they've got a really extensive line of stuff, and their products are really neat. It's pretty cool that we ended up going against them on our first one, so nice. Let's see. And I wouldn't say going against. We're just going to be in the booth pretty close to them, so nice. We'll see how that goes.
So I'm not super familiar, like, with the process, like, in general. Like, so how do you actually go about, like, sculpting and then, like, the pouring process? Like, how does that work, like, of actually physically making it?
So whenever we're developing a toy, since I'm the lead sculptor, you can either do them out of clay or you can do them out of a 3D print. We chose to take the 3D print route because our fourth person in our group, he goes by Comey, he lives in Washington, but he's an engineer, so he's got access to this amazing workshop. So he's got, like, a laser engraver, 3D printer, like, everything else you could think of. So we happen to talk to him, and what I do is I sculpt him on a 3D program. That way you've got the 360-degree view. You can change any kind of shape, any kind of proportion that you want. And then we send the files over for him to print. That way, if we need to have multiple sizes, which is something we like to offer for our customers, we can do that at the snap of a finger. We can just rescale it and print it. So he ships those out, and once I get them, I unpack the box, and we've got the 3D ridges that are involved. We take a product that we coat the 3D ridges, and then we cast it inside of the mold. So when it's done, we use block molds for now, but we're going to be working on sleeve molds. Sleeve molds are when you just coat the silicone over the mold, rather than putting the mold inside of a box and filling it up. So it's a lot thinner, kind of like a sock that goes over the toy.
And then you just flip it out.
Yep, yeah. And then you flip it right out. So it's a lot more cost effective, too. And for our larger models, we have to do that. We've got models the size of our arm right now.
Wow.
So if I did a block mold of that, I'm going to go out of business. It's amazing. Really, I don't know if we could use them yet, but
really,
we've had requests for
me
them already.
4 inches of fury.
Sounds like something that should be on a tattoo.
It's crossed my mind.
Or is it across your lower back?
Yeah.
Oh, hey-o!
Yes! Yeah, I knew this was going to be a good one. Okay, so you have, like, really fascinating, like, dildos on your Etsy page. Like, you know, I was scrolling through them. I was like, okay, these are, like, not... Like, none of them look like just giant, veiny porn star dick. They all look sculpted. They all look like... You know, like a piece of art, like in a weird way. I mean,
so
artisanal.
When
we, yeah, exactly.
Artisanal.
When we spoke about which one we were going to give away, you gave me the two options for the smaller ones, and the other one looked like your prototypical. To me, it looked more like your prototypical just dildo. And I was like, I don't want that. I want the one that this looks like every other one on our page, the different one. And that's why we ended up going with the Cayman, I think is what you called it.
So here's my question is, where do, like, the ideas for the sculpts actually come from?
You know, sometimes it's an involved process, and other times I just sit down and I've got a coffee in my hand and I'm completely out of it, and I just go to town and see what comes out of it.
That's what it was. Look at the purple pants.
The Hulk mustard. That's not
No, he's saying he wants one that looks like the Incredible Hulk.
So should it be, like, real bulgy and veiny, or should I just make a miniature Hulk?
I
think both.
Somebody locked up one, but...
Like a Hulk hand?
Oh, God.
With a fist on the end?
Yeah.
Not this, like, not the wedge hand, but, like, a legit fist.
No, just straight up.
Yeah.
No warm-up. Just go.
A whole smash on the side.
No warm-up. I love it.
Can we just say let me smash?
Yeah, let me smash. There we go.
Because I'm sure Hulk smash is probably copyrighted.
Marvel might get upset on that one.
Gonna literally smash that shit.
Love it, smash.
So like, it's just something you basically sit down and say, this is kind of the design I'm going to do today. Like, do you take, like, artistic inspiration from, like, anything? Like, what kind of things do you look at and you go, hey, that's kind of a cool idea?
So I'm kind of a nerd with certain video games. I'm a huge fan of Mass Effect, and that's had a lot of inspiration on a lot of our designs because alien dongs, pretty cool way to go there. And our aim, we want to create something sculpture and kind of aesthetically pleasing as well as pleasing for both genders. So all of our designs are designed to fit both bits. So hopefully there's no curvature or any kind of texture that doesn't work for somebody where it would work for somebody else. So a lot of our inspiration, one of the most recent models that I've released, but it hasn't been produced yet, is called the Rakana. And it's actually been based off of the frills on Thane Krios's neck from Mass Effect. Nice. I saw that and I'm like, that's a neat kind of aesthetic. And then I just started going to town on it. We also have a Breath of the Wild inspired toy. It's called the Prince. You can probably figure out where that one came from. I've got a nifty little button on my purse as well, if you can tell what kind of weeb I am. So it's pretty fantastic. So we've got that one. The Alabaster, which was the second option that I said would probably be a good one for the giveaway. It's a cat boy, so it's got some little barbs on the top. So we wanted to create something a little bit more standard for the people that aren't used to fantasy toys, but still wanted something a little bit different. So we kind of did that subtle
when
texture.
You say barbs on the top, like this is obviously like soft silicone, so it's not like it's stuck inside.
No, it's not going to cut you up.
Like it's important to say because like people
with
that are
listening,
people that are listening to this don't necessarily know like what she means. Right. Like, you know, it's a ridging basically. There's just dildos all over the place now. It's amazing.
So that was
looks like Lumiere from
Be our guest. Be our see that's is that
my speed
no
right
that's not it.
This is the this is the little guy here. So he's got kind of just the standard shape, but still nice and smooth. We've gotten a process where we're able to get these like photo gloss smooth, which has been fantastic. Nice. A lot of the other companies are still working on that, and I think it's the kind of coating that we use. Nice. So you'll get like a variety of like a velvety finish to a like gloss finish with a lot of our stuff.
So I was on your like obviously I like went and looked at your Etsy page to see like what kind of stuff you offered and was super interested in like looking at it and all this. So I see yeah, hey, I do what I want. Like so you have endless 5-star reviews. Like every single review you have is a 5-star review. Obviously you have very satisfied customers. Like when you get like these reviews, like you're making these like, you know, crazy looking, you know, dildos and you see like how happy people are when they receive it. Like, is that a really validating like feeling that like I'm doing the right thing right now? Or
it feels so nice. It feels weird saying that on a podcast.
I know, it's
like
amazing.
This
amazing.
Of course it feels amazing.
You know how many times I've said I went to town on it? Like every time I'm like, and don't laugh.
Snicker.
She said nothing inappropriate. It just sounds like it.
No, it's probably one of the best feelings because I put a lot of time and effort into this. I work a part-time job, which is only like 12 hours a week, but it's still something extra. And so when I come home, sometimes I'll be working from, you know, 10 in the morning till, I don't know, sometimes midnight. I was up until 2 a.m. yesterday. So I was all like, man, I made a mistake scheduling this early.
That's okay.
Second mistake, no coffee. No, it's, again, it's just satisfying. We aim to make unique products, and we want everybody that takes something home from us to have a unique piece that they can just kind of stare at and admire in a weird way. I don't know. I love getting the good reviews, and they're really important for business too. You know, if someone's especially checking an artisan dildo maker, they want to see the reviews that A, you're not finding, you know, a chunk of cat food in your toy or something random, you know, because whenever you think of artisan.
Felt good going in, terrible taking out.
Cats won't leave me alone. No.
Weird taste in my mouth.
Well, if they're silicone, they would leave a weird taste in your mouth.
They shouldn't, actually. No. The only time you'll deal with that is if it's made
I've
of a TPE.
A
That's a discussion for another podcast.
Not really.
No.
No. It's something we don't talk about.
No, we do. So the artistic side of it, like, do you feel that the artistic side of it has a bearing on like the sexual side of it? Like when you're thinking about, you know, designing, like, so you have these ones that have like the weird points and like, you know, ridges and stuff. Are you thinking about like the sexual use of it while you're also designing the artistic side of it?
Absolutely. A lot of the curves that we have are aimed for like G-spot or P-spot for a lot of people, and relatively they're in the same place for male or female. You're about 3 or 4 inches in. So a lot of our toys, like at least on the tip, have more of a curve up. And even the one that has the hard point right here, it's still actually a softer silicone, so it shouldn't be too stabby for some people. It's also nice to have a taper. It is, though. It looks like a little weapon, like you could just like mug somebody, but they are relatively soft.
What the fuck is that thing?
You got it. It's even better because it glows.
Oh, ours glows too, by the way. They won't give it away.
Nice.
So the little drips on the base, they'll glow too.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like hearing drips on the base.
Drips, hey. No, but all of our toy designs, they're designed with pleasure in mind. So, like, our Anole model, it's got that big kind of swollen bulb, so it's kind of like a knotting feeling for some people. So for the furry community, knotting is just kind of getting locked in place. So whenever you finally take the whole thing, it just is kind of there, and it's with you. I'm trying to explain this the best and most professional way I can.
Okay.
We're so immature here. Not going to be an issue.
No. Nah.
Did you listen to any of the show?
Oh, I did.
Oh, okay.
My favorite one was the I Am Brute.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of yelling in that one.
There was so much yelling. It sounded like a blast.
Not
though.
As drunk as Randy, though. Holy shit, man. I drank like 15 beers.
Anyway, so you do think about, like, you know, the sexuality side of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't just work in a sex shop. Like, you don't just mold, you know, dildos in as, you know, kind of like your side hustle, as it were.
Yeah.
You go do other things, and eventually somebody's going to be like, oh, what do you do? Like, how do people respond when you're like, well, I work at a sex shop and I make dildos? Like, dongers.
I make them silicone dongers. I think the hardest break was with the family.
I don't know what you were talking about if you said that.
Yeah, I probably just acknowledged
it. Yeah. Like, oh, all right. I don't know what that means.
The hardest break was with the family. Not necessarily with the toy aspect, because I've already shocked them past the point of caring. It started when I first applied for my first sex shop. I had a full-time job at Staples, full-time benefits, the whole shebang. And when I up and left, I couldn't do that job anymore. I counted pens for a living. I did inventory management there. So imagine counting every pack of pens and having to find the one that's a 0.5 versus a 0.7. It was awful. So I just up and left, and I went to the smaller Fascinations off of Colfax. So it already gets better. I told my mother that I left my full-time job to go work at a sex store off of Colfax. And I thought I was going to get murdered. So
she came in. You said you were working on Colfax.
That's kind of, I feel like that would be my parents' initial response, be like, are you tricking? Like, no, yeah. I work at a store. It's marginally different.
Yeah, so she came in, she actually saw it, and they're really boutique-y, and they've got, like, the hardwood floors and real nice little things, and she's like, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought, but I'm still not happy. And then over the years, you know, things just kind of grew. I became the assistant manager there, and, you know, she really was like, okay, this isn't so bad at all. Ended up leaving that job, went to a self-storage thing, and then I came back, and after I got done with the self-storage thing, that's when I got the idea, why don't I just make my own? You know, it was kind of a fun workplace and kind of an interesting dynamic, and there's a lot to learn. So I just decided to go for it. You know, just looked at an intro to mold making from the Reynolds, it's like Smooth On's website is the place that we get our silicone from, and they've got a whole list of tutorials, and that's kind of how we picked it up there, and it's kind of rolled on from there. So when I tell my friends,
like, literally self-taught, like, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I self-taught on the modeling program. I've played with that for years too. I used to do like little dragon heads and like just random stuff to kind of play around with it. I used to think I wanted to be a video game designer and, you know, didn't end up deciding on that.
I mean, you could be an entirely different kind of video game designer now.
They make money.
I assume as much with all the ads that I see for them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't watch porn. What?
Mass Effect has like a big merchandise. Well, of course, Zelda does too. I mean, both of them have huge marketing.
Yeah.
All kind of like, Hot Topic, I swear, carries all that stuff.
We got to be careful with how we name our stuff,
too.
We can't be like, this is Prince Sidone.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo's going to be like, this is for children. And like, come and like, get me, you know, locked up.
I feel like
Nintendo
would be the worst of it.
It would be awful.
They're so focused on like children's stuff.
It would be awful.
But then again, they are Japanese, and Japanese people are into some weird shit, so.
Yeah, but not Nintendo. I feel like Nintendo's real adamant about that. They even made Mario not a plumber.
Yeah, apparently he's not a plumber anymore.
He's not a plumber anymore.
Yeah.
It's first
of day.
Behind this car.
It's a Prius. Now, my friends group, though, when I introduce them to what I do, most of them, they just get this, like, starry-eyed excitement of, holy cow, that's actually a real thing. And I'm like, yeah. And so they're like, they always relate to. So it's kind of like Bad Dragon. And I'm like, yes. So I normally have them come over, they'll look at the shop. Our workshop's just a one-bedroom thing right now. It's a reasonably sized bedroom, but we've got, like, a little vent there. The carpet's all coated with plastic. We work off, like, two big shop tables. And I've had a couple people, like, come over just help me pour if they want to learn how to do mold making and stuff like that. So a lot of them are really excited, really receptive, and they've been super supportive.
Nice. That's really cool. I feel like most of my friends would be like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's not a shock to them at this point. They're just like, oh, yeah, you're doing the dick thing again. Again.
That's what she said.
So do people make special requests? Like, do they say, this is kind of what I'm looking for? And if so, because I see you nodding yes, I have to answer into the microphone. What's the craziest thing somebody's come at you with?
So we'll start off with what kind of customs that we can do. And then I've already got one that I wrote out last night and why it was the craziest and why I love it and why I also struggled with this one. What we do is we offer, like, multiple firmnesses. So if you have a model that you like and it might be too firm in that shape, we can make it softer. So we've got two firmnesses right now. We've got a soft shore of 0050 is the shore meter, whatever it is for that. And then our firm one, which is like a Bad Dragon, I think it's their firm. It's R10A. So those are just the grades. But we can also add metallic, glow-in-the-dark, neon, UV reactive. We can add bullet holes in the base, which is something that a lot of other smaller companies haven't really picked up yet. So we're kind of happy to be on the forefront of that, because if somebody wants a little vibrator, we can do it. So they can just put their own little thing in there, and it's removable, so we don't actually cast them inside. So if the bullet dies, cool.
You can take it out.
So yeah. We also offer different grades of customs. So normally our toys for our smalls are running 50. Our mediums are running 70. So we're trying to keep it pretty comparable in the toy market. And these things should last you a lifetime. So for our customs, for a three-color custom, something like this guy, it's a three-color marble. That would be a plus 10 for a custom fee just for making your own personal toy. And then for up to five colors, it's plus 20. And then anything after that is 250 an extra color. So we're able to kind of piece it out for people, get them the right tier that they need to fit into if they want a custom toy. It also keeps us from getting incredibly overly complicated stuff for just the extra 20. So we're still able to do five, which is a really good amount of color. The craziest one I ever did, which is why I retailored our system, I did a promotion where all of our toys were still at their introductory prices. We used to have our smalls at, they were at 35 and our mediums were at 50. We had to change that a little bit. We did all of our customs free of cost too at the time. So we did about 50 toys free of cost for customs. So it gave me the opportunity to explore, see what I can actually do and how to charge people for this. Since we were kind of new, we just kind of wanted to dip our feet in the water and see how that works. Craziest one was an Alolan Muk inspired toy. So if you've seen the Alolan Muk from the new Pokemon, it's got a ton of colors, weird nubs, everything else. It was a 13.
Yeah, everybody's like,
everyone's like, grab your phone.
I don't think any of us are big Pokemon people.
Somebody
spell that.
Do you need me to spell it?
I probably do, yeah.
A-L-O-A-N, and it's just M-U-K.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, and you'll just see the colors that I was dealing with here.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, so it was a 13-part split by the time I was done.
It's like barf rainbow color.
Yeah.
It seriously is.
It's meanwhile, like, the one person that custom ordered me for that is like, no, it's not. They're going to listen to the podcast and be a little sad. No, it was a really, really cool toy to make. But it had, like, a white belly. So the model that we did was an Anole. So it had a white stomach down the front ridges. And then on the back, it was cut halfway. So picture a color stopping right about halfway. And it was banded along the back. So it had one split here and then about 12 other bands that went all the way down. And the reason that's so complicated is whenever we're working with something like that, we can't just pour all of them right on top of each other as it comes out. You have to wait for each layer to kind of cure a little bit, but not over cure because then the two pieces won't bind. So you got to wait till it gets like thick molasses and then you can pour the next layer. So I literally had a chain of cups about, oh, shoo, fly. We had a chain of cups about a couple feet long of just these little colors and how I had to mix them. So I'd mix one, put it in the chamber, degas it, then I'd pull it out, pour it, mix the other, degas. Oh, and so that toy took me about an hour and a half to actually pour just by itself. I've never had a toy take that long. Did it come out perfect? Yeah. It was awesome. Nice. I'm super proud of it, but I don't want to make that one again.
So when you say, you know, the longest it took you was like an hour and a half to like pour this toy. Like, so on the other side of that, like how long do they take before they go from like, you know, that liquidy to where they're cured? You can pop it out and
pop it in.
Yeah. Pop it in.
Pop it out. Yeah. Pop it in. It's time to begin.
Sorry. No, it's amazing.
So normally different types of silicone take a little bit different time to cure. Heat accelerates that, though, and our craft shop is hot. We're on the second floor, and we only have one floor vent. So everything cures at a really accelerated rate, which is great for me because I've got a fast turnaround time, but it doesn't give me a lot of time to actually work with the colors. By the time I'm done stirring it, I have to pour it. I can't let it sit on the counter while I clean something up. I have to have it ready to go. So typically, like, our 10A, our medium firmness or whatever it was, is currently our firm medium right now. We've only got two. That will take about an hour to cure, and the softer one is supposed to take up to 3 hours. No. It's been taking about 40 minutes and then up to about an hour and a half. So it's been greatly reducing that time, and I can normally pop these right out and then just kind of trim up the base so there's no really paper-thin edges and... Yeah, relatively, it's pretty quick, though. I would say from start to finish, if I'm making a couple different toys, it would be maybe 2 hours if I'm going to pop out about three of them. Because I've got multiple molds and enough silicone for it.
How many overall designs do you guys have?
Oh, man. I figured you'd ask that, and that's the one thing I forgot to write down. We've got the Alabaster, the Cayman, the Kelpie, the Anole, the Rakana now. We've got two bullet vibes. We're working on a strapless strap-on, which is going to be really neat. No toy company has hit this yet.
Okay, we got to hear about this.
Yeah.
That's totally piqued my interest.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
We've got the Cryptid, and we've got the Scarab, and then I think, did I say the Prince already?
No.
Okay, well, we've got all those. So, like, we've got
10 or 12.
We've got about 12 models, and then we offer various sizes, too. So we'll have, like, a small Prince, medium Prince. So we've got about 16 molds at home now, if I was going to guesstimate.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got a whole shelf for them. That way they can stay clean and out of the way.
How long do the molds last? I mean, are they indefinitely, or are you going to have to recast them?
You'll eventually have to recast them. They should last you a pretty good amount of time, though. If you make a good mold and it's really smooth without a lot of texture, it's not going to get a lot of abuse. So it should last a while. And if you use the right amount of ease release, it pops right out.
Nice. Not the amount of abuse that these are going to take.
No.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Because you were asking her the question. And we because all know I know...
Bruce, so that's why.
Yeah.
Like, is there more?
So, he's like, I like the stabby one.
The stabby one.
I pray to God the mic picked that up. So tell us about the strapless strap-on.
So strapless strap-ons are a thing that a couple of the larger companies have touched, like Tantus and Fun Factory.
Oh, there
I'm just waiting
is.
For that car to pull
that's
down, and it's just...
enthusiast, actually. Yeah.
When can I get one? How much?
They just pull up.
Can
just
I
like a lemonade
test?
Stand? Can I grab one? I've got pennies. I've got quarters. No.
I just love that he slow rolls by and you know he can see the.
Oh yeah.
The table.
We've got the super neon one just glowing. You know. Adjust his belt a little bit. You're like, hello.
I need to go to the restroom.
Sure, for $50.
So here, take the
puppy.
Yeah, take the puppy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He's like, that one looks
I like, don't.
Anyway.
Strapless strap-on.
Yeah, so what they are is they're kind of like a big C shape with a longer side of the C. So you're getting kind of like a, I don't want to say fish hook because that's a really sharp, pointy, awful sounding thing. But you're dealing with, you know, a pretty good curve. So the bulb actually goes inside one partner and then underneath it kind of juts out and gives you your own dong. So we wanted to make something a little bit closer to real for people. So if they didn't want to have like an actual harness, by the way, all of our toys are harness compatible. They don't have to. So you can just pop the bulb in and we're going to be trying to cast them with a bullet vibe as well. So that way you're getting the vibration sensation. You'll have a little bit of texture at the entrance. That way whoever's wearing it can have a little bit of like grinding and then you'll have the full length for whoever is on the receiving end of that.
Scoot over, because I'm sure you're going to say things I want to hear on the podcast.
We're almost done with this interview.
God,
see,
he's totally turned off.
Okay,
is that
an animal there?
So
this,
yes.
This is the question that we had, because like I was looking at your page and I didn't see the disclaimer. I don't know if we talked about this in the
interview. No, we haven't yet.
So of the two things that you're giving us for our giveaway, you've given us the Cayman, a small Cayman, so just your size, Tim.
Yeah.
And then tiny. Just like me, 4 inches of
fury. It's a baby Cayman.
Yeah. So you also gave us like a little, it looks like a dragon or like a puppy.
Yep.
Okay. My initial reaction when I saw it on
Mine
your Etsy
too.
Page was like,
how do I use it?
What fucking hold is that going to? Because it's got a tail, it's got pointy ears and stuff, but it's not a sex toy.
It's right.
Yeah, I know. Give me a minute. Hi, Tim.
I was like, maybe it goes in easy because everything's kind of pointed this way. But then I was like,
trying to get it out. Those little ears, man. No, highly would suggest. Highly suggested not to put that in anywhere. Your hands is a great place to put it. But
I mean, that's usually where I put it anyway.
So what we're doing with like the little squishies and stuff, if we have residual silicone, rather than letting it cure in the cup and waste, we want to create something like little fidget toys or something that, you know, if you've actually got a kid and you just got your toy or whatever and you're like, hey, I've got this additional thing, it's not a sex toy, it can be whatever you want. So I've actually taken a couple of those to work, and I've got one on my dash, so he just kind of like cruises on the front of my car. And the one at work, I'm never getting back. It's stuck there. If I take it, I'm going to get yelled at.
It's kind of cool. Like, just, it's basically something to just use the excess stuff.
Nice. Yep. So we try to not waste any silicone as much as possible. We're going to be releasing silicone coaster sets too. Nice. So they're going to be dishwasher safe. We've got a harder silicone picked out, so it's going to be kind of grippy, but not too sticky to the table kind of stuff, because certain silicones, when they get softer, they get kind of sticky.
Right.
We want these to be really durable. So what we're going to offer, we've got like a crop circle design that we did, and our friend just laser engraved it in this stuff called Delrin, which is like a really thick, smooth plastic. So we're going to take that, cast it, and then we're going to offer them in like packs of four, and we're going to have like swirly, glow-in-the-dark kind of stuff. So it's going to be like a Constellation silicone coaster.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so the package, the giveaway package that you brought us, you know, it has this Cayman, it has the squishy toy, it has some like edible like massage oils and stuff like that, but it also has a toy cleaner, you said, and then I think Mike asked, you know, oh, these aren't dishwasher safe, and then you mentioned that your coasters are dishwasher safe. So talk to us a little bit about like the care of it, because that's probably a really important thing for people to know.
Absolutely. Actually, inside of all of our packages, you might be able to flip it over and see on the card on the back, we do include a certificate in there which tells you the exact day that your toy was made. So it's got a birthday, and it tells you who made it.
It's got a birthday. celebrate the birthday every
just like
year.
A Beanie Baby.
Yeah, you've got like your little certificate of what they are, and then if you flip it over, it's got all the cleaning and care instructions.
Nice.
So these are dishwasher safe, but you want to make sure that you run it on a cycle with no soap. It's the soaps that tear it apart, not the intensity of the dishwasher. Silicone is currently a non-porous material. Technically, anything is porous, but this is about as non-porous as it gets. So it shouldn't be open to breeding any kind of bacteria, because it's not spongy. It's not like some of the jelly toys that get cloudy over time from body oils and stuff like that. So
sounds delicious.
It's disgusting.
Exactly like the kind of thing we talk about.
Yeah, so you should be able to pop these in. You can boil them, which is the standard way a lot of people do it. Just boil it in the pot for like 3 to 5 minutes. Take it out, let it air dry, and you're completely sterilized. So if you're going from like partner to partner, that's a great way to sterilize these. And the toy cleaner that I included is a little bit nicer than dish soap. It doesn't contain any of the lion degreasers that a lot of toy or non-toy cleaners use. So those are a little bit harder. They could tear apart the integrity of the silicone over time and allow it to like retain a smell, which is something that they don't do, which is nice. So let's keep it that way. So we've got the System Joe toy cleaner in there, which is a really well-known brand for a lot of people. So decided to toss a little guy in there. And then we've got a water-based lubricant. You want to avoid using a silicone lube with a silicone toy. Silicone binds to itself. And if you do that, it's going to kind of get stuck on your toy a little bit. So right now it's non-porous, but that silicone is going to kind of cling to it, and since it's a hydrophobic material, it doesn't evaporate. It's just going to stay there and cling and allow little bacteria pockets to breed. So silicone lube is great for a lot of stuff, but just not silicone or soft material toys. So we've got a water base for that too.
Nice. I see Husky taking notes over there. He's writing us all down. Oh, okay, that's good to know. That's where I went wrong.
You can listen to this later.
That's going to explain the infection. There's this little toy dragon in here.
You got to win it. You got to win it. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk. We're going to talk about that a little bit right now.
Here's the 3D blanks there.
Are we? So you mentioned that like you're going to Midwest Furry Fest.
Yes.
Have you guys ever exhibited at a show before?
We have not. This is our first show, and it happens to be one of the biggest ones. Here's one of those little squishies you can actually play with.
Oh, nice.
Oh, so that's the...
Just don't stick it in anywhere, Husky.
Yeah, once we are done with our mold, we pop it out, and then it leaves a really nice, clean thing, and we can reuse that. It's not like using a clay sculpt where you kind of destroy it on the way out.
Right. You're stroking that pretty well there, John.
Thanks.
Can we fill this up?
No. How does that coat it?
This coat.
Yep. Okay. Now, that if you're doing a sleeve mold, you just paint layer of silicone over it, and it makes like a glove that you can peel off. The way that we do it is we take it, we glue those down to a board, and we build a box around it, and then we pour silicone into it. So it fills it up, makes a big brick, and then you flip the brick upside down, peel the bottom off, and then you can pop that plastic core out.
And then you've got the negative.
Yep, and then you've got the negative. So, did you guys...
So, reservations about doing a show?
Definitely anxious for one of the biggest shows being one of our first, because we got to gauge how much to bring. We don't want to sell out, but we don't want to bring, like, an astounding amount and then go bankrupt.
Sure.
So, 1 gallon of silicone costs about $187. So
how many toys will... I mean, I know that they differ
a good
based
chunk.
On size. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get an exact measurement because all of our toys take different milliliters of silicone.
Sure.
So depending on what I'm pouring out of it, you know, I can get a good chunk of toys out, though. So within about the sales of about 3 or 4 toys, depending if they're small or mediums, I can make up the cost of that gallon of silicone, and I sell plenty left over. Okay. So... our first show, though, we're trying to get merchandising together, so we're getting, like, hopefully reusable shopping bags, lanyards. We are going to be doing our coasters, and then we want to introduce condom boxes. So we want to do, like, little laser-etched boxes that say something either funny or have a neat design.
Yeah, we can turn you on to somebody that does
it. Yep. Our friend in Washington does it, too. He's got the whole laser engraver thing.
Right.
He actually does woodworking on the side, too, so it's
that's
cool.
Right, AJ. I forgot about AJ.
Yeah, so we're just trying to get our merchandising together for that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So let all of our listeners know how they can find your products and get a hold of you and maybe get themselves a custom donger.
Custom dongers.
That's super stoked.
Artisanal custom dongers.
Yeah, craft. Yeah, there were craft in there too.
Artisanal craft custom dongers. This is getting to be a mouthful in more ways than one.
That's what she said.
It is.
I wish I had that.
You need a soundboard.
We need to hire a dude who just sits out there.
More cowbell?
Yes.
So you give this a fin to distract them.
Yeah.
As soon as you get, you're like, here you go, here's some toys, son.
Check this out.
Mom and dad are going to be busy.
Yeah, here you go, play with this. I'm going to go play with something else.
Yeah.
I just imagine awkward glances being exchanged amongst like a bunch of moms at like Sunday school. Something.
And all their kids are...
and they know what it is.
And, like, one of the other moms is like, uh-huh.
Nice color choices.
Like, super judgmental. Like, so weird that I know what that is.
I don't know. See, when I saw those, I was like, maybe it's like a Voltron thing, and you combine them all to make super go away.
Super robot.
Just, you know.
There's a market for Transformers.
You
the head.
Transform
the shit! Transform
dildos for the nerd.
Left testicle!
So if you want to find our stuff, we're kind of all over the internet. We've got social media, some that I tend to more than others, just because Facebook is not necessarily friendly for dick sales.
What?
So I try not to post that up too much.
Facebook.
I know, boo hiss. So you can find us under Xenocat Artifacts on Facebook. You can find us under Xenocat Artifacts under Tumblr. Xenocat Artifacts for our Etsy, which is our primary sales place. So if you want to buy stuff and see what we have available, Xenocat Artifacts on Etsy is the best place to go. We've got a Twitter. It's Xenocat Artifact because we ran out of characters because it's lame. And we do a lot of like fun updates and we run a lot of polls on Twitter. So we'll ask like, hey, what's your favorite kind of thing from us? Do you like bumps and ridges? Do you like a smooth design with like a knot? Do you like, you know, just we'll run it and see what people want. And it kind of helps me tailor some new designs for people too. So if I feel like we're lacking in something, I'll kind of run a little poll, kind of test the waters, see if they like it. And, also, I kind of ask people, hey, what do you want to see more of in the shop? So that's a great way to kind of interact with us. And we are always open in PM. I handle all the social media, and I don't sleep because I'm an insomniac. So you can always get a hold of me. Nice. So those are probably the best places. And after the show here, I'm going to have to talk to you guys and get a coupon set up for you guys because I'd like to do a coupon for those who listen to the podcast that they could just listen to and then cash it in.
That'd be awesome.
Taking all the coupons.
Yeah.
And then I've got just business cards too, so I could write some coupon codes on that and get that out to you guys. So if anyone comes in and asks about the podcast, you can hand them one of these.
Do I buy five and get one free?
Not that many holes.
We can figure it out.
Yeah, you can figure something out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And the gift bag is going to go to somebody that has an amazing story for sure. So, but thank you so much. We really appreciate the time.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. It's been a blast. I'm kind of excited to have my first interview as a company. And it's just, it's a real validating experience. I'm like, damn, I'm getting somewhere. Like, I'm like, this isn't just a hobby kind of thing anymore, you know? Nice. So it's awesome. And really, again, thank you.
You're welcome. That's kind of the feeling we get when people actually invite us to do things. We're like, oh, hey, this is like a thing that we've actually done for years now.
Get her and Auntie M on the same episode.
Right.
Oh, right.
That would be something, grapefruiting.
We interviewed the lady that came up with grapefruiting. Are you familiar with this?
You know, you hit me with a term that I actually haven't heard. Okay. Please shock me.
Hold on. So it was like a YouTube
video.
He
said, hold on.
I know. I'm going to explain it, though. Like,
oh, see ya. See ya.
I got to go coach some T-ball. T-ball game.
Yeah. I don't like leaving here and going hang out with a whole bunch of 3 years.
Here's Rick. I have to go grocery shopping.
Yeah. That reminds me. I got to put that on my.
Yeah. Nice meeting you. Good luck.
Nice meeting you too. Thank you so much.
Take care. Warm apple pie and grapefruits, man. Yep. Don't forget.
Oh, God. I feel like I've heard it, but I...
Oh, okay. So just watch that for a second. Let me get it to the actual...
Yeah, get it to... Get
you don't want that nice elevator music in the background as I just get astounded.
Let's see. I think we're close. She's cutting the
hand. Take it and make it too big. That's okay, because you can always squeeze your hands like the muscles of your vagina.
He's like, I got this. I got it.
Yeah. Nope, I've seen that.
Okay, all right. So
we interviewed her. Like, she was
awesome.
Oh, my God.
She was just fucking watching TV the entire time, which was also hilarious. Yeah. Like, she's got it turned up to, like, 35 in the background.
Right.
But, man, she was funny. She was super funny. Oh, it's cool. Like, it's cool talking to people that, like, do this kind of stuff because there's so much weird taboo, like, surrounding all of that when, you know, like, in pop culture. Like you said, like, on Facebook. Like, this vaguely looks like a dick.
Right. You know? Which we could get away with it, but we just don't want to test that water.
Because people...
I'm offended!
Yeah. So we'll take, like, screenshots, like, part of the color and put it up there.
Nice.
Or, like, just like, little teasers and stuff, but we try to avoid, like, the whole actual thing.
Are they all little teasers, though?
Not all little.
Medium-sized.
Yeah, we got some good ones. But,
This is my favorite.
This one is my favorite. It's about the weight of a newborn. And
smash. We're talking about making one that's like a straight fist that literally just says...
Like Hulk hands?
Yeah. Yes. They're made by Primal Hardware. They've got the Kerbera. They've got the Splorch, the Squick, the Bedbug. They've got all kinds. Oh, they've got about... I know.
Why would you
the
name something that?
The name is... I don't like it.
That's horrible.
But they do make some really cool ovipositors. So we, my partner went to a convention and they were vending there.
Saying that wrong the entire time?
I have no idea.
Because we've always called them ovipositors.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong. I don't know.
Well, ask Maria.
Yeah.
Maybe. She's in science.
She's in science.
She's going to school for science.
She's gonna hate that you asked her that. You know that, right?
So is it an ovipositor or an ovipositor? And she's just like, stop.
You idiot.
We're on that again.
Right.
No, they make some really neat stuff, though. We actually own one at home. He picked one up because they had it. It was their display one, and it was really neat. Like, it was UV reactive, and it had, like, a black base, and it was, like, this marbled neon pink and blue. It was pretty neat. We haven't actually, like, tried it out or put any of the gelatin eggs through because we're really lazy and we don't like to go shopping for pure gelatin. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people do, like, alcoholic Jello shots with those. And I'm like, that is amazing!
Wow, you up.
Yes. So there is a sex toy reviewer that we've actually worked with. Her name's Alice Scary. And S-K-A-R-Y. And she does, like, a lot of domination work. And she ordered a custom Kelpie that glows in the dark from us, and it works great for her harnesses and all of that. But one of her videos she has on YouTube is a oviposition Jello shots. And so she made the alcohol-infused eggs, and it's just her and another friend, like, getting torched off these things.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and they're sucking it down the tube and everything, and it's just, it's really entertaining to watch. Yeah.
Things like, yeah, I can just
see, like, you know, a bar, and people are like, yeah, I'll take a shot of it. I'm just fired up.
Slide turn. Would it be like one of those hibachi grills where they, like, right? Take the broccoli and they're like, they
exactly.
Like hit it with a little spatula,
exactly.
But it's like an alcoholic.
Open mouth.
They do the
turn around like Ace Ventura.
They do the onion ring train, and it's like, boop.
Ding, 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 ding.
Light it on fire.
Oh my god.
That'd be terrifying. Just flying alcohol light, on fire.
It's like coming a flamethrower. You light the tip, and then you're just like, pop.
Do you think it actually worked that way? Are we going to get sciencey with this?
I don't know.
Do we have to contact MythBusters?
We yeah. We should.
Can you launch
we should get one of those and then we'll try it for the next 69 episode.
169.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's a long way.
I know.
Tattoos are coming first.
We might have to do that before 169.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Look at him get all scared.
So scared.
So nervous.
So nervous.
So do we want to pause real quick and then start the regular show?
Or? Sure. Let's say you want to say goodbye one more time.
Oh yeah. Well, thanks for coming again.
Just ended abruptly.
Oh, so anytime. Awkward. It's a pleasure.
It didn't end abruptly. Like it's not like that at all. I did just thank her for coming though. That was awkward.
Thank you.
Anytime.
She's used to it.
I know.
Like, it's just so
does everything long. Like every time you talk to people, does it just turn into inadvertent sexual innuendo?
Pretty much.
I think I speak in innuendo and sarcasm.
Awesome.
It's kind of dangerous because I've got a little brother and, you know, I've got a lot of family. My family's so used to it though. And my mom has actually gotten in on the innuendos and has thrown some pretty funny ones around that
nice.
I wasn't ready for. So.
Has your mom ever purchased anything from you?
No.
Why would
right.
you ask?
Well, she's in the business. I'm curious if it's weird when like friends and family are like, yeah.
I've had a lot of friends come in.
One of these.
Bottom, yeah.
Yeah. Like she's come in and she got like a shave gel once. So that was about it. It's called Coochie Cream. That stuff's amazing.
I like
yeah.
the name.
Yeah. It's good stuff. But no, I think that's the only thing she ever purchased from either of my places. So
nice.
Well, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're really excited.
Thanks
to
for putting up with our idiotness.
We'll
do those.
We pretty much are that show.
That's,
though.
Yeah, I know.
Whether she's here or not,
that would
exactly.
not happen.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
This is like a super.
It's fascinating.
It's not a special episode for us, per se, but like when we realized it was going to be episode 69, we're
of
like,
course.
Yeah, we got to do it.
Idiots.
Because
we're
stupid.
Idiots.
Well, I feel honored that you guys invited me on. And I'm glad that we kind of made an impact where you guys are like, hey, let's have them on there. So.
I know.
And if you ever want to come back
and hopefully
and talk
we
about
make an
other
impact
stuff,
with that.
If you got new things, you know.
Yeah. If we get like going crazy on stuff or like something
please
super innovative comes out, I'll be like, hey, guess what?
Like in a lot of ways, like this interview just keeps going.
That's all right.
Awesome.
That's okay.
That's
so
awesome.
I have a lot of questions.
I've got to
ask questions.
Like super pop culture centric because like a lot of your ideas come from like video games and anime and that kind of stuff. And
H.R.
Really,
Giger is
yeah,
a big inspiration for us. So
like this idea.
Some gonna
that,
pop out of it.
It's called the twat burster.
You can't steal my boyfriend's call tag for his
sorry.
Thing.
Is that really his call tag?
No.
It's amazing.
That would be
he's
going
to kill me. He's going to listen to this and be like, we're over. We're done. Can't call a twat burster.
For the record, if I ever have a call sign for a video game,
twat
it's burster.
Twat burster.
So.
TM.
Some of my favorite ones I've ever seen was Velocifaptor. And there was... There was another one that
it's
I saw when I was on Xbox Live.
What was the other?
There was another one on Xbox Live called Statutory Ape.
And it was
awful.
Wow.
I saw that and it just did like the whole like half light scream thing, kind of the
oh.
I was just like, no, I shouldn't laugh at this.
Awesome.
Yeah, so there's
Statutory
some funny ones.
Ape.
Yeah. So I sent them a PM. I'm like, nice name. And I never got a response back. So they're like, I hear that all the time.
He probably gets like 80 of those a day.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thanks again for joining us. And like John said, anytime you have something that you want to share, feel free to hit us up. We'd love to have you on again.
Awesome. It'd be a pleasure to come back whenever. So
cool.
So I so badly want to be clever here, and I want to be impressive, and I want to talk about how great and witty I am, but I'm not. So instead, I'll just say that, like, you should definitely ask Gabe about his drunken fight stories and how much kung fu knowledge he gained New Year's Eve from the 36 Chambers. Hopefully at some point I'll be in Colorado or he'll be in Idaho, and we'll just drink a bottle of bourbon and just record a podcast and, you know, see what happens there. But you should definitely continue to listen to this crazy ass podcast, Thinking Outside the Long Box, because this is probably the most fun I've ever had recording shit and talking about myself.
Hey, podcast nerds. Obviously, you are smart enough to like these guys. I think you'll probably dig The Baboon Room. We have interviews ranging from a Vice.com Middle East embedded journo telling tales about when she got arrested during the Turkish coup to Singularity One-on-One Socrates doing this.
Hey, guys. This is Socrates from the Singularity One-on-One, and you're watching The Baboon Room.
And sometimes the voice of God drops in, and apparently,
you know, I'm telling you, God really knows his shit.
And sometimes we just nerd out hardcore about the EM drive and AI and Bitcoin and universal basic income and other cool shit. Search Baboon Room wherever you get your podcasts, or just head to baboonroom.com. Cheers.
Welcome to Hollywood.
In a city of sin.
What would you say if someone offered you peace and happiness through all of eternity?
He was a missionary.
Have a nice day.
On a mission.
Hi, my name's Joseph Young. We're with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
A boss? Some guys from Jesus?
Are you making a movie here?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of movie is it?
It's an action.
Need a hand?
Adventure.
That's handiwork.
Porno.
You make me so horny.
Like as in pornographic?
And I want you to take over as the leading man in my film.
Come on, boys. Grease them up.
And action.
Give it to me, you big star.
Check that out, man.
Keep your mouth shut.
Sorry, dude. Got a little excited. I can't. See, I have a fiance.
$20,000.
Is it enough so that we can get married?
It's $20,000. I have to think about this.
Yeah. You start at 10 o'clock. Have you met our new Orgasmo?
Your Orgasmo. I'm your sidekick.
My sidekick?
I help you out with my specially designed sex toys.
Oh. Action!
Not afraid of Orgasmo.
Did someone say my name?
Come on, boys. Let's get it on.
Yes, sir. This is supposed to be erotic.
Do you want your money or not?
I have had enough of your poop. Get out of here. You don't own me.
You want a bet I don't, punk?
Find yourself another Orgasmo.
Joe, help me.
Lisa, where...
Will you shut up?
Orbison took my cupcake. You and I need to do something. It's the Orgasmerator. I've made it work.
Now you're putting me on.
Ooh, you can use your Orgasmerator as a weapon.
Where's my fiance, butt lord?
Who the hell are you?
I'm Orgasmo.
Curses!
Here to save Hollywood.
Man, these European videos are kinky. You got the bad dog.
And then the world.
Farewell, evildoers.
Orgasmo.
You know, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I think you've got a really nice ass.
Battling evil has never felt so good. Orgasmo.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. Get some.
And we're back.
Why is he looking at you like so that? All sleepy. Exacerbated.
I don't know. No, I'm not. It's I'm all sleepy face. All of a sudden.
You're so. I think your son just said exacerpoop.
Exacerpoop. When you have, I'm exacerpooped.
I think he's saying tackle poop. Oh, tackle poop. He is.
I don't even know what that means.
Hey, your little boy's
son,
weird.
My son says, "Holy shrimp!
Holy shrimp!
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Where the hell did you get that from?
What was
this randomness?
Holy what was shrimp. The one that Hannah's been saying lately?
Are you leaving, Dom? Sexual freak.
Yeah, I have to go.
Let me get him his book.
Yes.
It's not my money. It's Juan's money. Okay.
Hey,
what's wrong with poop?
Nothing. he gets that from.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Despicable Me, because. Nice. Oh yeah, yeah, goes. Oh poop. he thinks that's hilarious.
It's right pretty back. Funny.
Sorry. No, you're fine. So, pop culture classic. I mean, let's get started on it because you and I are the only ones that actually like watch the movie,
and it's not good.
Stupid. It isn't. It is.
Stupid and dumb.
Stupid and dumb and just stupid.
You know. So first off, let's start with this.
Well,
so,
people just heard the trailer.
Yeah, people just heard the trailer. So today we're going to talk about Orgasmo, released in 1997, written and directed by Trey Parker, who is famous.
I'm going to put that in there, that
from
sound.
South Park, the boo.
Yeah.
Okay. It stars Trey Parker, Ron Jeremy, Matt Stone makes a
side note,
cameo.
I reached out to Ron Jeremy, never got a response.
Yeah. In general, this has nobody famous in it.
Yeah, the like, cast it, is not very
like,
big.
I think it has like a couple porno stars besides Ron Jeremy, and then that's just kind of, that's kind of it. So watch this movie
Did
last
you
night.
Hear from Doyle?
No, I'm going to message him right now.
Okay.
Watch this last night. Like after I got off of work, so I was sleepy and super stoned. But in general, this movie is funny, but does not hold up at all.
No,
I don't think it held up when it came out.
No, when it came out, it was really, really funny. And you have to remember too that at the time, like it was, you know, Tipper Gore wants to put like parental advisory labels on everything, and like South Park was like the cutting edge of like crude humor on Comedy Central, and. So, like, at the time, it was very shocking and different, you know, this combination of, like, a very sexually charged movie and, like, a Mormon and all this other stuff. Like, it pushed a lot of trigger buttons for people, like, in 97. Like, this is the same time, like, everybody's, like, gearing up for Y2K and Jesus is coming back and, like, all this crazy stuff.
People are drinking Kool-Aid and waiting for the asteroid.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
weird.
There's all sorts of crazy... like very conservative things happening in the United States at the time. And so this movie was like a shocker. Like it was a big deal kind of after the fact. It made almost no money. It made like $500,000. Like it made no money in the theater. But when it came out on VHS, it became one of those cult hits that like everybody that was, you know, kind of right. an asshole like us was like, yes. Oh, you got to watch this movie. So it was funny because less because of the, you know, stupid sex jokes, and more because it was so different from anything else that was out there. But now there's like a million fucking movies like this. So it's just kind of, I mean, it's like when you go back to like a band's first album, you're like, I remember why I like this, but it's not good anymore. Right. Like that's how it felt. It just wasn't.
He never liked it.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Like, so I was just kind of saying, like, when this movie came out, it was
so
like a very
hungry.
Conservative time in the United States. Right. And it was
so
a very,
very hungry.
It was a very different thing. So, I don't know why I talk ever. You guys just talk over me and treat me like shit.
It was a very conservative time. And it was
the best of times.
Like, yeah, at the time. But now when you watch it. It's like there's 100 movies out this week like this. So it's no longer shocking. It's no longer something crazy and different. It's just kind of mildly funny and like with really shitty production value. Right. Like,
yeah, I think the last movie I can think of that had that kind of shock value to like culture was maybe like Hostel.
Yeah.
You're showing like mutilated bodies and tits and people are like, I don't know how to feel about this. I've got a really weird boner.
Yeah. Like the weirdest of all boners.
But it was such a Quentin Tarantino movie. Or not,
Eli Roth.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So like
that's, tits half and then destruction on the back half.
Like that's how I remember viewing Orgasmo for the first time, being like, holy fuck, there's really nothing else like this.
Right.
He's wearing pink tights and he's got a giant silver cock.
Yep. Stunt cock.
Stunt cock.
DVDA.
Doesn't he have like a lime green cape too? It's like so ridiculous and over the top.
Yep.
So probably my favorite scene in that movie is the stunt cock scene.
Right.
With the black guy.
Yeah.
Where he's like, but I'm, and he's, and the guy's like, nobody's going to care. Exactly. It's porn. Like, calm down, dude. It's funny. Like, and some of the, probably one of my favorite lines that got me every single time they said it is when he's talking to his girlfriend and they go to hang up and she goes, Jesus loves you and so do I. Like every time they said it, it cracked me up last night because that's just funny.
And I've totally dated that girl. Like, going to a Christian high school, I absolutely dated that girl where she's like, Jesus loves you and so do I. It's like...
After you just came in her butthole.
Yeah.
Wow. That
did not happen until I was
in
high school.
Wow.
Wow.
God damn it, I love that now.
So here's what I wanted. Juan is young.
Dumb.
Dumb and full of cum.
Wow.
Wow.
I want to know.
I didn't know that.
I snorted. As soon as I started watching this movie last night, because I haven't seen it since like probably like 98 or 99.
I honestly tried to watch it Thursday night because Carissa was gone last week. And I was like, I'm going to watch this on Thursday. And then I didn't.
So
do I just need to send you daily reminders? Hey, watch this tonight.
Yeah,
watch this tonight.
I literally put it off until I got off of work last night. Gotcha. So I was watching this at like 12:30 at night last night. As soon as it started playing and like the characters came on, like the Trey Parker and the other dude being the little Mormon guys. Yep. As soon as the movie started playing, I was like, Juan's going to hate this. absolutely nothing about this movie is going to appeal to Juan. So I want to hear.
It's very short because it doesn't appeal to me. It's not a very good movie.
I know that you hate it. I knew that you would hate it.
I hate it.
Was there something that made you laugh?
So even in movies that I absolutely feel are the worst movies, probably have a few things in there.
Hold on. Let's backtrack. What is a movie that Juan feels is the worst movie? Because I think that you're pretty...
I like pretty much everything.
Exactly. So
it's hard.
What's the worst movie for Juan?
I don't remember like a movie that I was like, this is absolutely horrendous. It's been a long time.
Okay.
Well, I used to watch... what's the girl in Dusk Till Dawn? The young girl. What's her name?
Selma Hayek?
No. The daughter.
Oh.
Patricia Arquette?
No.
I thought that's who it was.
Michael Kirk knows. He's yelling at us right now.
Yeah, I know.
She made a couple of movies that I was forced to go watch with girlfriends at the time, and I've never fallen asleep in a movie before except for to her movies and just straight fell asleep. But I don't remember a movie where I was like, this is absolutely horrible.
She was in Christmas Vacation.
Yes. Yeah. But she made like some standalone movies where I don't know if it was like
Juliette Lewis.
There you go.
I don't know if it was at the like tip of her stardom. I don't know if she really had a like
I don't
huge
think she
time,
was ever
but,
a big star.
Yeah, but there's some movies.
Dusk Till Dawn was kind of the peak of her career.
But there's movies where I not on purpose, it's just, you know, I just fall asleep to, but I don't remember the last movie I was just like, I hate this movie. It's horrible. But like in every movie, we were talking about Basketball, because that's another Trey Parker movie that that movie's probably the best Trey Parker movie or anything that he's involved with that I actually enjoyed.
And it's still the poor man's
Dodgeball. I don't remember watching that one.
Fucking amazing movie.
I don't remember, but Basketball came first.
I know, I'm saying it's the poor man's Dodgeball, but still, though. It's just not as funny as Dodgeball.
Right.
I just didn't like it.
I don't like that kind of... I don't know what it is about. Like, I hate South Park. It just doesn't make me laugh.
I do it because it's sterile and I like the taste.
Yeah. We should show blood and semen. Not at the same time.
No. Other scenes I love, when the giant lady gets on top of him.
Yes.
You're going to make me come or else. Like, and, like, the Cartman voice is coming out of her. That's pretty funny. So apparently, like looking at the trivia for the movie, apparently there was this lady that was making movies under the name Eartha Quake.
Okay.
And they wanted to cast her as that character.
Okay.
But the movies were older and she had lost like 250 pounds.
Wow.
And so she couldn't. They were like, we want you to fat. God damn it. So.
Yeah, it was thumbs down for me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I don't think Trey Parker's funny.
Other little trivia, Ron Jeremy was supposed to play the main villain character, but he can't act.
Right.
And like the guy that they hired
to
do it. Yeah. The guy that they got to do it was...
Couldn't act either?
He could act. He was a little more capable of pulling off an actual like role as opposed to Orgasmo.
Right.
I do love that every time he zaps... Ron Jeremy's character with the orgasmo ray, he goes, that feels good.
Such a dumb movie.
It is a dumb movie. Like,
there's a lot of those.
So it gets it for me. It gets the thumbs middle.
Yeah.
Because like, at the time it was so big and different. Like a into the butthole. At the time it was so different.
Double thumbing.
At the time it was so different that it was like shocking, and everybody's like, "Holy cow! You can do that in a movie," and it just doesn't hold up.
But I don't think I saw. See, I don't remember seeing any of these movies when I was young, because like I said, I'm the youngest of five, and I don't know that kind of comedy would appeal to any of my family, and so I'd never watched these movies until I was already older, and maybe it was because of that. At that point, it was like, this is horrible. Like,
see, and as I was watching it, that's how I felt. Like, watching it, I was like, man, I remember this being way funnier, but you know, the acting's crappy. The quote unquote special effects are crappy. But, you know, some.
I think it meant to do that. I think
some
of
it was intentional because they're like on a porno set and stuff. But so much of it was just.
It's a parody of a parody of a porn parody.
Yeah. Like so much of it was just so dumb that it ended up being bad.
Right.
But you do see like weird little hints of like Trey Parker, like Book of Mormon and stuff like that, like in this movie, where a lot of like those ideas that he likes to play with are in there and just kind of in their, you know, baby stages.
Infancy,
yeah, in their infancy. And that was kind of fun. But past that, I mean, reality is it's not a very good
movie.
It
didn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up.
I watched No Retreat, No Surrender. Probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's one of the very few Jean-Claude Van Damme movies where he's like a villain.
The bad guy, yeah.
And it only focuses on him for like 10 minutes of the whole movie. But it's about a guy who, like, there's this bad group of like fighters. They're like ninjas almost, that they're trying to take over gyms in the country. I don't know why. It's horrible. Yeah. Yeah. It's horrible because there's no plot to it. But I remember being like, when I was a kid, like, this movie's amazing. And I watched it the other day and I was like, I have no idea what's going on in this movie. Like, they're beating up people to try and win their businesses, which doesn't happen in real life. And it was just such a weird freaking movie. Such a weird movie. Bloodsport, I rewatched that. And none of the music is the same. So it's all different, and it totally took me out of the whole movie. I still love that movie, but I was like, what kind of remake am I watching? It was just horrible. But it is hard to watch some of those movies back and be like, oh, yes, this was amazing as it was back then.
I think very few of the movies that I watched, like, when I was a kid, with maybe the exception of, like, Army of Darkness and, like, some other of, like even Nightmare.
And that movie's not very good as, like, far as, like,
it's just so funny.
Like,
it's
thematically. No, I mean, it is amazing. I love the movie, but watching the movie, you go, man, this was poor. Like, they didn't make this with very much money, like $1,000 maybe.
So I remember, like, a few years ago, they did a Nightmare on
Thanks, Carissa, for whatever you just dropped off. I don't know what it is.
Sopapilla cheesecake bars.
Yep.
What the fuck? That sounds amazing.
They are amazing.
So
I'm gonna need one of them over here.
Yep.
There you go.
Say what?
So be a hoot what hoot.
So they did a. They did
actually fuck that.
That's all I've eaten is junk today.
So they did in the theater screenings of Nightmare on Elm Street a few years ago. And me and my friend went to go watch it because, man, who didn't fucking love Nightmare on Elm Street when they were a kid?
I loved it.
So I went to
I wasn't even a kid.
I went to the theater and I watched it with him. Dude. And it was just so, like, it moved so slow. I was just like, man, this is not a great movie.
The part where his arms are
super
stretching
long,
out.
Yeah.
It looks so horrible.
It looks so bad.
But I love Freddy Krueger.
I remember it scaring the shit out of me when I was little, and then watching it again as an adult and being like, this movie's terrible. Like, and there's so many movies like that. Lionheart.
I still loved
it.
Lionheart is horrible.
I loved as a kid.
Like. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I snuck into Lionheart and I loved it when I was a kid. Mm. Like, I saw it in the theater and then I watched it again, like, you know, 5-6 years ago. And it's like, at what point did I think this was a good movie? Like, what the fuck was wrong with me?
I think the idea of Freddy Krueger is more what I think I've become attached to.
Yes, than
because
the actual
movie. Scary.
New,
like,
Nightmare's really good.
Like, that was a very that was a much darker version than the others. But the idea that you have to fall asleep and face this crazy looking dude at some point is crazy. It's creepy.
I remember I'm like that way with the first Hills Have Eyes.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Or Last House on the Left, same way.
Yeah.
Like, that movie was
I heard
like,
that was kind of rapey.
Well, the movie is super rapey, but like I remember the original one from like
watching movies like that
from the 70s. You know, it was supposed to.
That's what she was just talking. Shannon was just talking about that.
Kicking the dildo into the butthole.
But these are amazing.
Yeah.
Like those?
Oh.
These, let's be really clear.
Why don't we?
These are way better than Orgasmo.
Good. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Double thumbs up.
Why don't we rent the space next to this place and she can just make stuff? Because whatever. Usually she makes really good food. I don't think I've ever had anything where I was like, this is not good. Carissa's really good at cooking.
She puts vegetables in things.
It is what it is. So does Alicia.
Vegetables are good.
No, I'm saying, like, she made a frittata something.
Oh, yeah, and Juan was like, it's got vegetables.
Got broccoli in it?
That's not, I think I ate the broccoli. Finn's over there,
sounds like he's going, brah, 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 brah.
I pick out mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, I'll throw up if I eat a mushroom.
Fungus among us.
Yeah.
So I watched a video on Facebook a couple of days ago. That was a guy that had replaced all the sound effects in Call of Duty with rappers making their gunshot noises.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
Like he pulls the trigger and it's all bruh, bruh,
bruh. That'd be awesome to make a macro of that so that you run it and people are like, what the fuck was that?
It was amazing.
Pew, pew,
just,
pew.
Just
pew,
like
pew,
that,
pew.
Finn. Just like that.
That so, was
yeah,
so good.
So we're going to say like.
I'll say thumbs middle, too, just because I haven't seen it since.
It's the memory thing. Like,
right.
Watching it as a kid, it was hilarious, and it was different, and it was weird, but.
So Doyle's supposed to be picking the next one, and we haven't heard from him
yet. We have not
yet.
Heard from him yet. I just messaged him again. But we will put that on our Facebook page. Doyle, so I was talking to Doyle about his process in picking out the movies.
Okay.
And he said to himself, I feel like it's worth $25 a month to, like, force other people to suffer for like 2 hours every 3 months. So like but some of the movies he was floating are all good movies,
sure.
But like really weird picks for us, like All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh wow.
Like yeah. And then and then he also brought up this Sam Peckinpah movie called Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, which is like just this super fucking weird crime movie where this guy is literally like carting around a severed head.
Interesting.
He's got to get it back to his boss. Like, just we're gonna end up
there.
We're gonna watch something real weird when he tells us what it is. I'm pretty excited for it.
That's
so
cool.
Major League.
All Dogs Call.
Major League is that
it's
movie
awesome
holds
movie.
Up.
Yeah.
Okay. So while we're talking about this, like, because we like making extra content when we have a chance. What's a movie that you loved as a kid? That you watch as an adult, that you're like, oh, yeah, this is still
Terminator
really, really
2.
Good. Terminator 2 is a great
the
answer.
Best.
One of the best
every
movies.
Day, my family hated me because I would literally watch that movie fucking every day when I was younger.
I love
and
it.
And it's amazing. I mean, the part where Arnold's dying and going into his thing, I mean, fuck, it makes me want to cry, like, just thinking
you're
about
tearing
it.
Up right now.
Yeah, that's a sad part because you go through where, you know, it's maybe not the best dialogue ever while she's speaking and he's learning how to be human. They're high-fiving and shit. And then at the end, he gets poured into molten lava and it's sad. That's a sad part of that fucking movie, but it's great. I love that movie. I think that's one of the very few times in cinema where the second one was better than the first one.
Yeah. I can only think of one other movie that I feel that way about, and it's...
That you watched as a kid that you also love as an adult?
No, the sequel's better than the first
one.
There's
he hates everything.
I can think of a few.
There's a movie called Infernal Affairs.
Infernal Affairs?
Yeah, that's the movie...
Not internal.
It's like a Hong Kong...
That's a good movie, too.
It's like Hong Kong action...
Is that the
action.
Porn version?
Yeah.
All of the subtitles...
It's a Hong Kong action film, but it's the movie that they made The Departed from.
Okay.
So if you've seen The Departed, you know the plot. But so you know how The Departed kind of follows the one cop? So the sequel follows the other cop.
Okay.
That's like the one that's kind of more
cop.
The bad cop. And it's 10 times better.
Okay.
But the two of them put together is like just this massively amazing movie.
Nice.
Like definitely worth looking up. For me, the kid movie... I watched Major League, like, this one made me think of it. I watched Major League with my dad, and then I told my son, I was like, we're going to watch this movie together. Like, I don't give a shit what you think.
Yeah.
And we both laughed our asses off through the whole movie. Like, that movie never stops being funny to me.
The second one of that one is good, too. I really like the second one, too.
I just, man.
The whole crowd has marbles.
It's just funny when they're pulling the pieces off of her dress, you know, every time they wear
the leopard dress,
and then the how he does the the Jabu thing when he like gives sacrifices to like the voodoo god, which I'm sure is like incredible.
I hate Jabu
terribly.
Love that movie.
These still are amazing, by the way. They're delicious.
Way better than the fart you ate.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's still amazing.
Aliens 2, another great movie.
Aliens.
Yeah. Aliens. Well, Alien 2.
To
Aliens.
Which part? The sequel being better than the original, or the part that holds up now that you've watched it? Wow.
I think it holds up because it was amazing
and continues to be amazing,
and was better than the original. I mean, the original is still really fucking good, but I think Aliens.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
How early is too early to show Aliens or Predator to your children?
Oh, buddy, I've been showing Johnny zombies getting mutilated ever since he was born. I don't care.
I think
I was talking about this with Mike last night because he wants to show Dylan, I think, Aliens, and I was like, he's like 3. I think that's a little early.
No, he's not going to know. It's not going to matter.
Johnny goes, are you watching zombies again?
He loves dinosaurs. And Jurassic Park was on TV one day. And I was like, oh, you like dinosaurs? Check this out. And it's the part where the T-Rex like breaks through and he's on the shitter and then just wrecks the car. And he's like, ah! So we could not watch Dinosaur or Jurassic Park after that. That was...
Nope, I don't think Johnny's going to be scared of anything. No. not movie wise, at least.
So with 4 kids, like this comes up pretty often.
Sure. With what kids?
4 kids.
I thought you said poor kids. And poor. I was like, what?
So
sweatshop kids.
You gotta have something engaging while they're stitching the soccer balls.
Yeah. They don't get that.
Making shoes. No. There's no TVs.
There's no TVs. There's no TVs in those plants. Just
no eye contact
to catch them when they jump over the side.
Just lots of steam that seems to come from somewhere.
That's
very hot in that room.
So with Bailey, Bailey's been watching like scary stuff since. Real sappy in here.
It's cummy.
So sappy.
So Bailey's been watching scary stuff since she was like 5 or 6. Like no problems. But, like, Ashton is terrified of things, like, in really weird ways. Like, I remember one time we were watching, like, a ghost TV show, and it was like Unsolved Mystery style, where it was, like, a reenactment of, like, a ghost story. Typical Phantom Hitchhiker story.
Yeah.
They drive past her, and Ashton just goes, too scary, and, like, makes us turn the show off, like... Bailey was so pissed off at him. It was amazing. She got so mad.
No, I try not to. Unless it's like really porny or something like that, I try not to. Well, porny. I mean, in Preacher, there's scenes where it's like, holy shit, like that guy's going to town on somebody. Or I don't know, just weird things.
It's so funny to watch him walk because it's like a zombie.
The main.
Oh, I know.
Air. Have you? You're not caught up, huh?
I'm Preacher. No.
Air Star hires he hires these two people in the organization. He tells them to hire a prostitute, and the guy hires 2 males, and not knowing that he's not gay, and he just lets it happen. So he's getting raped, and I was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't watch this. but I try not to shield Johnny or Felicity to anything.
CPS.
Yeah, it's fine.
What
happened? My kids are very healthy, thank you very much.
Oh, I know, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, solid thumbs middle to thumbs down for Orgasmo.
Yeah, not
this
good.
This is probably one of our weaker pop culture classes.
Yeah, I don't know who chose that stupid movie.
I chose
movie.
It. I was very excited for it. What's that?
What else are you going to pick for episode 69?
Yeah, see, that was the thing. I couldn't really think of anything else.
I picked Caligula, but that's straight
Caligula
up. That's basically porn.
Caligula is a good choice. And so I went and I sat down and I was looking up some of like those older like porno movies.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, maybe I should.
The ones with the plots.
Yeah. I was like, maybe I should.
Love them plots.
So love those plots. I should watch a few of these, like Caligula or Behind the Green Door and stuff like that. But I ran out of time. So, but I was thinking about like Devil and Miss Jones and stuff like that.
Right.
Back in the 70s when like they had plots, just like massive sex scenes. So the thing that probably killed Orgasmo was that it did receive an NC-17 rating, which in the United States means nobody goes to see your movie.
Right.
So That's why it ended up only being
Do
popular.
Movies even get NC-17 anymore?
It's right there, buddy.
No, I don't think they have that anymore. I think it's more for, like, animation stuff now.
So you can get it.
Because NC-17's like the risque, but not quite rated R. So people that want to see rated R.
Not quite rated X.
Or rated X?
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was not quite R.
NC-17 is, like, past R.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And very few movies get it anymore because most of the time, because they're such commercial failures when they get it,
yeah.
Most filmmakers will cut their movie,
right?
You know, cut the half a second of sex scene, you know, half a millisecond of boob or whatever to get that rated R rating so that they get, because I don't think most theaters will even screen an NC-17 movie anymore because they know they're just not going to make any money off of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, those old movies like Caligula and stuff that got rated X, which incidentally was... So the whole rating system started out when the Catholic Church was like, these movies are banned. Like,
right. Whoa.
You can't watch these if you're Catholic.
Yeah.
So I just thought that's funny. That's what the X designation originally was banned by the church.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's pretty fun.
That's right. Not very fun.
Let's take a quick break. Come back. Talk about some old man shit.
Old man shit.
Everybody, it's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Is that hilarious?
Yeah. But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
We never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number two, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show, or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, y'all come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
Shut it up. We come over here.
Yeah.
And we're back.
We come all the way over here and you're just back there.
Are we recording already?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Well, I wouldn't let him say "and we're back" for no reason.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to count next time I listen to a podcast how many times that question gets asked.
Wait, are we recording?
Are we recording? Are we back?
It's
are
not
we
like,
back?
It's not like Juan will ever edit any of it out.
Nope.
Or what was just said.
Right. And we're back.
And we're back.
Hours.
Twice
hours,
now.
Hours.
And
hours.
We're back.
So.
In your bag.
Oh, in your back tits? Isn't that what we talked about earlier?
Back tits earlier.
Back tits.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So there's a seamy underside to sex in pop culture, specifically in the movies. And my old man pick is going to be exploitation films. So, so we kind of started talking
They're on
about
Tumblr.
We started kind of talking about it before. So in like the 60s and 70s, like exploitation films were kind of ran the gamut of anything that didn't fit into like the mainstream. So like if you weren't watching like a Disney live action comedy or like, you know, a standard like universal kind of horror movie.
So let me down, Dad.
That kind of stuff. A lot of those were exploitation movies. So you're looking at movies like Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS, or like Cannibal Holocaust, or what are some of the other ones? So like in the blaxploitation genre, Dolomite or Foxy Brown or Shaft is like a great example.
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, I was just talking about Shaft. And like what made them exploitation is like, it's like the opposite of the Deuce, where the Deuce wants to tell this story about pornography, but without the porn part of it being the draw. This is the opposite. We're going to tell a story about like what it's like to live in inner city New York, but the draw is that like Shaft has sex with tons of hot chicks and there's lots of violence, like, or Cannibal Holocaust. Like, we're going to tell a story about the Amazon, but the real draw is that people will get eaten and a giant pole will go up her butthole and out her mouth, you know. It's
never fun.
No, not at all. There's all sorts of stories about people that, you know, vomited in the movies or freaked out and left. Tim and I, before we came back, were talking about the director of Cannibal Holocaust actually had to appear in court and prove that the people that died in his movie didn't really die. Like
you
that,
weren't watching a snuff film.
That you weren't watching a snuff yeah. film. There's even a movie called Snuff that was like purported to be real that people walked out of.
It's okay. You can interrupt.
Because it was like the special effects in Snuff were so bad that people like left because they were disappointed that it wasn't like actually a snuff film.
Yeah.
You know, and you have the rape and
can't believe that's kind of an audience.
That there's an audience forever. That's like, did true. You? That's I mean, true. So moving forward, you know, you get into the 80s, you have movies like I Spit on Your Grave, or we were talking before about like Last House on the Left, yeah. stuff like that. The more rape revenge movies.
Hills Have Eyes was Hills like Have it was Eyes. Like huge for that time period.
So you get into like the 90s, and like those kind of movies still existed, but they kind of like fade away until you get into a movie like. Like 8mm is a really good example where it deals with like snuff films while also still being an exploitation movie, because there's that like off chance that you're kind of hoping that he finds the movie and watches it and you watch it on screen with him kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, going even further forward, like you're talking about a movie like Hostel, what's the draw of Hostel? You're going to see tits and ass, and you're going to see people getting murdered, and you're probably going to see both at the same time. Yeah. And that was like the draw of the movie, or a movie like Saw, which isn't overtly sexual, but is just gore porn, you know? So all of these things fit into like that exploitation range, like where you're looking at movies whose intention is to like shock and titillate with like just horrible, horrible things. So, you know, when you're looking at the stuff that we talked about is largely like things that are funny, like things that make us laugh, you know, things right. that are actually sexy when we're talking about, you know, what's that first pop culture thing that you saw that, you know, made you pop a boner or whatever. Like these things are intentionally designed for that. You know, I just wrote it down so I don't need to remember it. A movie like Emmanuel or like The Big Dollhouse. Like The Big Dollhouse is like a women in prison movie. You know, what's the point of a women in prison movie? Well, of course, shower scenes. Like, that's the whole point. You know, the plot revolves around naked women doing stuff in prison, you know, and being molested by the guards. And usually the headmistress, who's a female, also molests them all. And it's just ridiculous. But it's like porno, but with like it's my plotted porno that I right. like so much, but with more plot than regular.
Please don't tell me you watched like Oz.
Oh no. Jesus, not for that.
Literally the reverse of that.
Yeah.
What do a bunch of guys do in prison? Well,
or like a movie like
guys.
Like a movie like Emmanuel.
Yeah, other guys.
Like the Emmanuel series has like 8 or 9 freaking movies in it, like to the point where they're like Emmanuel in the Sahara, Emmanuel in space, and they're just softcore porn that have like a loose plot line. So
I remember the Emmanuel in space.
You can watch them as a movie, but you don't have to watch them as a movie. No, there's people that absolutely watch it as a movie. Like you can find books of critical review like on all these exploitation movies, because you know we've been talking about this quite a bit on the last few shows. Like somebody took the time to make it. Like somebody took the time to like use their artistic ability to not just make a sex movie. They felt the need to write a plot and give it actors and have a storyline. And that person probably knew they were making softcore porn, but wanted to try to do it better than it had been done before, which in a lot of weird ways is the plot of Orgasmo. Like, oh, that guy can do an action scene. Let's make a porno that has an action hero, you know? Oh, no, it was interesting. So you, Tim, you had brought up a couple specific movies that are like the modern
equivalent. No throwing rocks, fans.
Man, like if you want to have a good day, don't watch a Serbian film. You'll cry and you'll hate yourself for watching it. But it's one of those like movies that's so god-awfully, like the visuals are so visceral and surreal. That, like, you can't stop watching. Like, I can't describe most of the scenes because they are very, like, atrocious
but
to
you
even
also,
describe.
But you also will never... They're, like, burned in your mind forever.
Yeah, like, I can't, like... I guess on the low end, like, the guy, the plot is like the guy's a porn star and the director wants to make a snuff film without him knowing it. So he injects him with like bull testosterone. So he goes like off the charts horny. And like there's a scene where like he's like fucking a girl from behind and the director like hands him a machete. Like, here you go, buddy. What are you going to do with that? And so he like cuts the girl's head off while he's fucking her and keeps going. And then they're like, whoa, whoa, you need to stop. That's gross. Like, that's the low end of the film. Like, he's fucking a decapitated body.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Like, it only gets a lot worse from there.
Like, that's kind of the beginnings of the movie. Like, it's nasty.
Yes, sir.
Or, like, the other one that you brought up, Solo or 120 Days of Sodom, is like a retelling. Like, and that's an older movie.
Yeah,
like, it's from the older 70s. But it's like the retelling of like the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom, but it's done in like fascist Italy. So it's like, it's meant to be like this commentary on like fascism and the spread of fascism and like how insidious it is, like in destroying youth culture. But the way they destroy youth culture is to literally like kidnap children and like rape them and make them eat feces and like all sorts of crazy stuff to the point where like the movie's banned in like, you know, 15 countries or something like that. I mean, it's just, it's a genuinely like that exploitation movie while trying to accomplish something can often go like way too far.
Yeah.
Like even like on the low end of the spectrum, a movie like Last House on the Left, like a dude literally puts a chisel to another dude's teeth and like knocks his teeth out with a hammer. Like there's things in the movie where there's that one or two scenes that are so shocking that they created like buzz and people wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And people go watch this like hour and a half long movie that maybe isn't produced very well and probably isn't that interesting or entertaining for like that one crazy thing that happens in the movie.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
I mean, it's just in and of itself, it's just such a bizarre and fascinating like little genre that is so hyper-focused on like sexuality and violence that, I mean, it deserves a place at the table in all sex episodes. So.
This is like the dark end.
Yeah, this is the conversation. This is the dark, creepy
that could
end.
Could have been had. It's on like, the 69th episode.
Oh, Gabe watches awful movies. I understand. So,
horrible
movies. So does Tim.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I don't even know how you get into stuff like that. That don't even sound like something I would even be like, yeah, we should watch that movie.
I can tell you exactly how.
I can too, because I've got friends just as fucked up as me.
So like, I used to read a lot of like horror movie magazines like Fangoria and Rumorg and stuff like that. So you read an article about, you know, Don Coscarelli, who made like Bubba Hotep and Phantasm and stuff. And he talks about how his influences are this movie or this director. So you look up something like, you know, like Coffin Joe, who's like the Spanish language director who starred in all of his own horror movies, where he basically like is this weird like demon vampire guy that like bangs hot chicks and then kills them, you know. And then you read more about him and you find out he's influenced by this and influenced by that, and next thing you know you're going down this rabbit hole and you're like, oh, this, here's the top 10 like crazy movies that, you know, nobody should watch ever. And you're like, well, I'm going to go ahead and watch all of those.
Right.
And then next thing you know, you've put just garbage into your mind.
Yeah.
Like in an amazing way.
Or in a really horrible way that you may regret.
There's...
Sounds
is
horrible.
Is there a movie that you genuinely regret watching?
Smoking Aces.
No way. That movie was great.
No, I mean,
oh, God,
it was a good movie.
One movie.
Oh,
so
buddy.
Fucking terrible.
I don't mean because it was so bad. I mean, like, because some things can't be unseen.
No, I would change.
Yeah,
it. I would change it.
Film.
A Serbian film. That's probably
the crescendo.
That's what I don't understand.
Is the absolute most disgusting fucking thing I've ever seen.
I don't think I would sit through something like that. As soon as it got there, I'd be like, nah, I'm out.
Some people don't, though. Like, and that's the thing. There's people that like a... So here's the thing. When I was a kid, like, Faces of Death was getting passed around. Okay, so I was like in fourth, fifth grade, where he was like, you got to go to the video store. You've got to get this movie. Like, it's disgusting. It's crazy. Like, real people really die. And like you watch it and it's terrible. Like it's considered like what's like a Mondo film is
right.
What they call them. So like movies like Mondo Cane, Faces of Death, where they show like real people and real animals like really dying.
Not necessarily a snuff film because it's not intentionally made right. for that end. It's just like caught on tape. So you watch this stuff and you're like, oh, well, I made it through that. I can make it through anything.
Nope.
And so you – like I found myself at a certain age, like in my 20s, where I was just like watching more and more and more intense things until I had – I mean just – almost nothing was shocking to me anymore.
It's not. It's was, for me though. It's not that it's shocking because well, nothing no, that, is really shocking.
But that was
it's
like just, that was like my goal. Like I wanted to be like completely desensitized to like absolutely anything.
No, but that's
that I could
that's
see.
What I'm saying though. It has it, for me. It has nothing to do with the shock value. I watched Faces of Death, and you know, part of the way through, it, I was like, "This is garbage." Like it's not because I'm like, "Holy crap, this is crazy." It's just not. I don't. Why am I wasting 2 hours of my life watching this nonsense? Like it's not. It has nothing to do with the shock. I don't remember the last time I saw somebody's head get cut off and be like, holy crap, it's just normal. Like, so, that stuff doesn't bother me. It's just junk. It's just shit that I didn't want to watch. I got through 10 minutes of it, and I was like, nah, this is horrible. I'm on to the next thing.
So for me, there's like...
It's boring.
Obviously, I don't watch a lot of stuff like this anymore because, like, I don't have the spare time to right. just sit down and watch, like, 6 hours of, like, fucked up shit on TV.
I see, like, Bailey coming home like... God damn it, Dad.
It's like, I'm sorry. It's like watching people die. Like,
you know. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Well, no, but like...
Games and snuff.
I know, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I actively spent like 3 months trying to find a snuff film. Like, there was a point in my life where like my goals were very different than they are now. And like, I just... There was something about the way that I was raised. It felt so like... It was so exciting to watch something like that because it was so taboo within the scope of how I was raised that like the excitement level of watching something like that, that's not even necessarily derived from like the pornographic side of it or the violent side of it, but just in general, I shouldn't be watching this was so exciting that I couldn't, that I just wanted to go more and more and more and more to the point where, I mean, I watch things I absolutely should not have watched, you know, and they're never going to be out of my brain. But also, I'm never going to take acid because I know the instant I take acid, all of those mental images are coming back. Yeah.
For me, it's like, just – for me, watching or getting into something is plot-driven. It's what's going to keep my attention.
Oh, you like
and
plot
none
too?
Of that. Yeah, I do. And none of that is – none of – it's not – that's not the purpose of that. There's
well,
no plot
not,
to movies like that,
no, that's
you know.
Not true.
For like, me – for me,
like
there wasn't
like
ever
a movie like so like in the dark side of things like a
Hostel was just kind of on the verge
like
of that.
A movie like a Serbian film or something, it serves like a very specific purpose. Like it's meant there to be like how far can we take like shocking violence
right.
and
it's,
sex?
It's meant
like
to
it's
fuck your day
meant
up.
To be that way. But like a movie like Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS is funny. It's got a story to it. It's got boobs. It's got violence. It's got everything that you want to see in a movie taken to like level 11. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that, it's entertaining. Like if you liked the Grindhouse movies with Robert Rodriguez
yeah,
and Quentin
they were
Tarantino,
okay. yeah.
if you liked that, then you would like something like that because it's funny. It's entertaining. Like the Big Dollhouse, dude. It's a women in prison movie. They're trying to escape and they're not wearing their clothes most of the time. And there's a storyline to it, but it's also like, here's this crazy story and boobs. Like what's to not like about that? Shaft is actually a really good movie. So is Foxy Brown. Like
by that definition, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. Like Game of Thrones in a lot of ways, especially that first season is like that kind of exploitation thing. Like why did people start watching Westward? Why did people start watching Game of Thrones? Well, because all the nudie scenes and then they get further and further into it and they're like, oh, this is actually really good. You know,
I don't know. I watched Westworld. I didn't because I don't normally mean you.
You're
No, I'm just saying
in general.
Like I don't know anything about Game of Thrones and I never read it before. And so I'm guessing that there's just the same amount of, you know, nudity and violence and rape in the book as there is the show. But I'm guessing that there are people who came into it fresh who weren't just like, oh my god, there's fucking nudie scenes in this show, because that can be found anywhere now. Like it's, who cares?
I don't know. Sorry, I got distracted for a second. I don't know, but that's just kind of it. Exploitation films are a thing. They exist. They're fun.
Is it a big thing anymore? I mean, are people really is there really that many taboo things anymore?
I don't think so. The last big taboo thing was probably Human Centipede. People lost their shit over that, literally.
Yeah.
They just came out with a third one.
I don't know. I mean, it hit big not too long ago. It hit big, and then they made like two others. But it's like, that's the last like.
They're all horrible. Even Human Centipede, I didn't like. It just was not good.
Where like people were like, gasp.
See, I don't care about that shit.
I think with the advent of the internet and the accessibility that people have to like all the old things that have been done, as well as all of the new things, it makes it very difficult to shock people.
Right.
Like it makes it difficult to say. But I think like. The idea of an exploitation film in general, like, and the way they're made and the kind of movie that they are, absolutely still exists. Like, a movie like Baby Driver fits into that mold where it's a loose plot that's literally just about cars and, like, hot women and violence. And that's a thing. Like, Death Proof is the exact same thing. It's just a movie about hot chicks racing around in cars, you know, though. So that idea, like the idea of an exploitation film is something that still exists. It's just that it's not really labeled that anymore because it's significantly more mainstream than it used to be. Like at the
time, not as shocking,
like in the 60s and 70s, it was just, you know, like I said, you were either watching like Paint Your Wagon or like a Disney, like live action movie.
And I think even into the 2000s, I think Hostel was a great example of that. And that was a movie that I was like, I definitely need my money back after this fucking movie. It was horrible.
I don't remember liking it that
nothing,
much.
Nothing about it shocked me because, like I said, I don't remember the last time watching somebody get killed on the screen shocked me, but it was just a bad movie. It just wasn't that great.
I remember liking the second one more because the victim becomes like
the killer.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like. Plot twist.
Spoiler alert.
For anyone who hasn't seen Hostel 2.
From like 2001 or something like that.
Never watched Hostel 2.
I'm sorry, Keith.
Ruined. I don't know. It's just, like I said, I feel like that brand of movie is significantly more mainstream. Like a movie like Snakes on a Plane. That's a perfect example. Just a bunch of people on a plane, they're snakes. It's a loose plot that's an excuse for a girl to lose money. Yeah, it's an excuse for a girl to take off her shirt and like some people to get eaten by snakes.
I just don't think that's what movie people are making anymore. As far as because you can find people taking their clothes off at any point on the internet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think if they do like Snakes on the Plane, that's not like. I think people who are spending their money now going to the movie theater want a good movie and not people taking their shirts off or fucking stupid nonsense.
I don't think that's true. I think people want just plain entertainment. They want action that's like fairly pedestrian but is easy to follow. And I think what exploitation movies do that most movies don't do now is they actually try to create, like, in a really weird way, they try to create nuance that smashes together sex and violence in a way that is entertaining without, like, pulling back at all. Whereas, like a lot of the movies that you're seeing in the theaters now are either, like, remakes or sequels or based on a book or based on this. Like, nobody's actually going out and saying, okay, how can I make, like, something super crazy? Because there's no boundary to push anymore.
Right.
You know, the boundary because of the internet is like so wide open that like literally everybody has seen hardcore porn.
There's not
a boundary that needs to be pushed.
Right.
So filmmakers don't push a boundary.
I think I agree with you there. I don't personally, that's not, you know, women taking their clothes off isn't something I care about. Baywatch was amazing, not because of the hot women, but because it was hilarious. You know, that's what I go to. You know, I watched Colossal the other day, and that's a beautiful movie about a dude who hates the world, he punches the main protagonist, you know, and she's a female. It's a really good movie, and that's what I want. I don't just want violence and sex just for violence and sex. It's not what I go to movies for. It's not why I watch movies.
I think like at the time, especially like at the height of it, that was what they were there for, because that just wasn't a thing.
Right.
Like everybody's watching musicals and sappy comedies and
cartoons and stuff like that. Like, nobody was trying to, like, push any kind of boundary. Right. And so these film directors were like, look, this medium can be something crazy. Like, I was talking with Tim about it a little bit. Like, I watched the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune, where they're talking. Right. And I talked about You on Their Way Up. And he was talking about how important it was for him to make Dune as a movie, because it was going to open people's minds. Like, he literally wanted to change the way people thought about movies by making this crazy movie.
Right.
And if you've ever seen any of his other movies, they are, like, fucking bizarre. Like, Holy Mountain is really, really weird. Like, El Topo is, like, this weird Western that, like, makes little to no sense, but is so visually stunning, like, you can't take your eyes off of
it. I really, really, like, Colossal... The plot, I understand it, and it's a little crazy, but the film itself is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a good looking film. Monsters, I've talked about that a couple of times. I'd never heard about it. It's just a Netflix thing about creatures that came from outer space, but they're not like dominating the world. They just want to exist. That's a beautiful movie made from somebody who I'd never heard of before. And you have to, some of it in Spanish. You got to read subtitles, but it's amazing. Like, I love that about movies. I like mainstream movies too, but more now I search those movies where I'm like, visually, this is a really beautiful movie.
So what I think, like, so when you're looking at, like, that time frame, like, a guy like Jodorowsky wants to make Dune because he wants to expand the way people think about movies. A lot of the exploitation filmmakers were doing one of two things. They were either trying to make a quick buck off of some tits and ass,
right?
Or they were literally saying to themselves, how can I push the boundaries of film? And, like, that's something that's been taken to such an excess at this point that we can literally say, what do you imagine? I imagine a dragon, you know, shooting fire, blowing up a whole bunch of stuff. All right, I can do that. You know, but at the time, that wasn't, like, a thing. Like,
right.
To create a creature, you had to, like, physically create a creature. To have, like, a bunch of women in prison, you had to have a bunch of women in, like, a prison that you made. Like, and so is these people trying really hard to, like, make movies different from the way they were. And, like, it's been taken to such, like, an excess at this point that those boundaries are few and far between now. Like, there's not a ton of movies that... Shannon was talking about, like, The Fountain. Like, a guy like Darren Aronofsky is one of those people that's still trying to find the boundaries of movies and push it, and he ends up making things like Requiem for a Dream or, like, The Wrestler.
Oh, God, that was such a crazy movie.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it pushes, like, or...
That was a movie I came out of just going, what the hell did I just not? And that wasn't even bad. It was just so freaking weird.
Yeah. And that's a thing. Like, you know, you have people trying to, like, push the movie genre into something else. Like, there's one guy that's, man, it's like a crazy length. Like, I genuinely want to say it's like hundreds of hours long, but he made, like, this movie that's, like, hundreds and hundreds of hours long, and it's going to get screened, like, one time, you know. And that's, like, his project. Like, he had this dream, like, how can I push movies to, like, this next level? And that's what he made. He made, like, a 300 hour long movie or something ridiculous like that, you know. Or guys that make movies like Bronson. Like, Bronson is, like, pushing the edge of, like, how can I make, like, a crime thriller with, like, this really bold, big character, but that looks so different from, like, everything else, you know? And you just don't have a ton of directors and actors that are trying to do that, where in the 60s and 70s, there were so many boundaries to push that so many people were doing it. Some of them for a quick buck, some of them for artistic reasons.
Well, I think that's the problem now.
All sorts of crazy stuff.
You can't push the boundary so far and make a quick buck because nobody will go see your movie. You're not making any money at that point. You know, you've got to conform. You've either got to, it's got to be visually stunning, or you've got to conform to mainstream shit for it to be.
I mean, and the studio system has such, like, a massive lockdown on, like, what movies get made now that, you know, it's hard. It's hard to find the funding for something different, unless you're the dude that made Dogtooth and Sony Pictures Classics, like, make four more movies like that, please. Like, I mean, but those movies are out there. Like, the guy that made Dogtooth and The Lobster, he has another movie coming out, and it looks just as fucking weird as the last two.
And there are those movies that push those boundaries of plot and style and stuff like that. They're just few and far between.
Last one I watched was a movie called The High Rise.
Oh, that movie's nuts.
And Tom Hiddleston's like the main guy.
Yeah.
That movie is like a visual and mental fuck.
Yeah, the movie's really good.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Probably the last movie that I saw that was really, really crazy like that was The Lobster, like, which is, it's got
Lobster Johnson?
Russell Crowe in it. Is that who it is? I don't know. I don't remember. He's Australian, but I don't want to say it's Colin...
Gerard Way?
No, Colin Firth or Farrell? Colin Farrell, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. But The Lobster's awesome if you haven't seen that. But
The Lobster Sauce?
Yeah, Lobster Sauce. Lobster Sauce is delicious, so... All right, well, let's wrap it up, which is what you should do if you're having sex.
Juan actually didn't have an old man pick.
Juan never has an old man pick.
No, I never have an old man pick. I'm not old. No, they are old.
And John doesn't have an old man pick because he hates us.
I'm not in my 40s.
See if John will come close the end.
Yeah.
John!
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 Just help us finish.
John!
Help me finish, John.
She's on his
forehead. I think he's getting yelled at.
And chest.
All right.
I think he's getting yelled at.
We're going to finish up. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 69. It's the sex episode. Starts out funny and super dark.
Just like sex.
Just like sex.
It's like when you do
maybe
it,
I'll put
like,
the interview now. That it ends funny.
I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
It's like crying after sex.
Yeah. It's only awesome when the stripper's crying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, God, man.
No, that's a Bloodhound Gang song.
Nobody likes the Bloodhound Gang.
Sex is only fun when the stripper's crying or something like that.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah. I didn't come up with it. I just said it out loud.
What's wrong with you, Gabe?
A lot is wrong with me. And if you'd like to find out more about what's wrong with me, you can visit us at www.totlb.com. You can also find us on our various social media accounts, facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, Instagram and Twitter @outsidelongbox. You can go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.blahblahblahblahblah, because we don't have 100 subscribers yet. So search Thinking Outside the Long Box in YouTube, or we post often.
And subscribe.
Yeah, we post often enough on Facebook that you should be able to find a click through to YouTube on Facebook. Please subscribe to that, because once we get to 100 subscribers, which we are currently 87 people away from,
to be fair, we just started putting videos up there.
we've gotten pretty much...
I don't want to say nothing, but when we first started this show, we didn't imagine that there would be 20 people who wanted to listen to it. Yeah. Now there's thousands, so the goal's not that lofty.
Like, we started really pushing it like kind of around Colorado Springs Comic Con, and we went from having like 6 subscribers to 13 subscribers in like 2 weeks. So like it's not like a huge lofty goal.
Subscribe.
Okay, yeah, I'll subscribe.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's texting somebody.
So
I'm doing it now.
Be sure to go to our YouTube channel. You'll be able to find
we're gonna
our Facebook
test this theory right now live on the pod.
Our Facebook page, a way to go to YouTube. So anyway, subscribe to YouTube, please. There are a couple of different ways that you can support us.
It's an autofill too.
Nice. You can go to amazon.totlb.com and order pretty much the exact same way that you order off of Amazon. And we get a little bit of a kickback from
it. There it is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep interrupting you.
There's two,
actually. So you got to make sure you subscribe to the right damn one.
How is there two Thinking Outside the Long
Box? There's another Thinking Outside the Long Box with 6 videos and 4 subscribers. And then there's you guys with 66 videos and 13 subscribers.
The other idiots.
Is it really?
So yeah. Now you got to send them a cease and desist. Oh, you get to do it now.
You can do it now.
You get to send the cease and desist.
Yeah, we have it as an LLC.
And I trademarked it.
Yeah, so we can be like,
come finish the show at least.
Okay.
Hey, we come here to hang out with you.
Oh, shut your face.
Looked
like you were getting yelled at.
He comes down here to sell his bread and wares.
I don't know that. I think it's set aside for other people, but
for you, fucking Keith.
No, it's my wife sells it is people pre-order it, and then if they live in Denver, I just bring it down.
Hey, I'm in a few of these. That's cool.
Anyway,
John, you should subscribe.
What is it?
to our YouTube channel.
Okay.
So as a special paired with this, because we interviewed Shannon from Xenocat Artifacts, you can go to their site.
Their Etsy page.
Yeah, their Etsy page, which I don't see on the card. But you can find her at Facebook.com.
It's just Xenocat Artifacts.
/ Xenocat Artifacts. X-E-N-O-C-A-T Artifacts.
If you Google that, Tumblr and Etsy will come up.
Right. So you go to her page. You buy yourself an ACD.
Something real nice.
Artisan. Craft. Handcrafted. Donger.
Donger.
ACD.
She was young. 23 years old, she said.
Was she?
When you check out...
Stop vibrating, please.
When you check out... It's actually mine, I think.
No, it's me.
When you check out, you enter in the coupon code TOTLBXCA17. And
we'll put that up.
And I believe she said...
15% off.
15% off.
15% off until January 1st of 2018.
So
for all in stock.
In stock.
In stock. Not a custom stuff. Yeah. The custom made is a little
more
pricey.
We had a custom made and it looks amazing. So you might just pay the extra to get a custom made dildo if you want.
So be sure if, you know, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Support local business.
How do they win it again? Tell everybody again.
So the way that you're going to win it, because we do have a free one to give away, there's two ways to win. We're going to put a post on Facebook where we talk about this. You can either write out a story in the Facebook comments.
Doesn't have to be long.
Just your funniest.
Doesn't have to be graphic.
Funniest sex story / craziest place you've ever done it. Or you can give us a call on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May he rest in peace.
R.I.P.
970-573-6148. Leave us a message with that same story. And we will pick the winner. And
if you don't want to put your name out there, but you
totally
still
fine.
Want to tell a story, send
Please
the email to outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. I'll post it, but I won't post the name.
Right.
You'll win a small Cayman in the Hulk mustard coloration.
With purple pants even.
You'll also win one of the puppy dragon squishy things.
And that's just a fidget toy.
Yeah, just
don't
like
stick
a fidget
that anywhere.
Toy. Yeah, don't put that.
If you can figure it out, let me know.
It's just a plushy thingy that
it's
they
the
made.
Excess that they use
yeah.
with all the silicone. That they, yeah.
So you also will get a little bit of
toy cleaner.
Water lube. Water-based lubricant, because she said not to use silicone-based lubricant.
No silicone on silicone.
A toy cleaner, like a special soap that doesn't have the stuff that breaks down the silicone. And then, like, three tea bags.
Yeah, that are not tea
that
bags.
Are not tea bags. They have, like, some kind of, you know,
I think
warming,
they're lube.
Warming like, oils and
yeah.
stuff like that. So.
It's like a candy apple hand drop lube or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of fun
John's
stuff.
John's going to sneak that out of the bag.
So a lot of fun stuff. So be sure to send us your story and... It'll come up like
sounds like we've already got a couple stories being thought about.
Yeah, we have a couple people that are interested.
And I want to, like, even if it's, like, completely fabricated, don't tell us and make something ridiculous if you want to win this.
Because that could be awesome.
It could be amazing.
Dick pics are encouraged.
No.
Dick
pics
are
encouraged. Oh, God.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I really want Juan to be
uncomfortable.
Especially
if you send them to the email.
I want it to be like a minefield. Like, you're going to get a lot of emails. And you're be like,
and disguise
God
them.
Damn
disguise
it, Tim.
The title.
Right,
say, like,
decent.
You know,
God damn
I'd
it,
like
Tim.
To be in an interview. And then just send a dick pic to that. Yeah. So he has to open the email. And he's like, oh, God. What is this?
And of course, finally, the biggest way that you can support us is to go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/TOTLB. We have
you started slaving out your labor over there. Yeah. Is that what's going on?
She works for me.
We're getting
literally a child working. She's 16. She can drive.
The
work permit from her school.
Wow. It's okay. You can flip this off.
I was like, what?
So at patreon.com/TOTLB, you can find exclusive videos and content from the show we do before episode, which is, you know, the thing that we did before.
Before the episode.
Yeah, before the episode.
You have to be a Patreon person.
No.
Before episode, you have to be a Patreon person.
Oh, yeah.
For
the after episode
video goes on Facebook.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. No, you're right. Fuck, you're right. I'm telling you, you're right.
I'm right.
We also do other Patreon exclusive videos, which we just call exclusive content. The latest one is a half an hour episode where I do a quick review of the
Netflix Defenders, and then talk about Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Daredevil, and kind of their history in the comic books.
Oh, she should make us an Iron Fist. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Put like an LED on the end so it actually
glows. Oh, that would be genius. No, it just got to glow in the dark. She's just got to make the yellow glow in the dark.
It's
got
to glow from inside because it's harnessing its dildo chi.
It'll vibrate. Vibrating it's dildo chi. Yeah.
So be sure to check out our dildo Patreon cheese. Page, patreon.com/TOTLB.
Hashtag dildo cheese.
On that note,
oh
this
man,
has
we
been...
had a whole discussion about that last night.
About dildo cheese?
Missed out.
Oh, god damn it.
Well, I was trying to have you discuss with us today, but.
And I did. Nah. For like half the show, motherfucker.
I mean, like a third of the show.
Like yeah, half. Like a third.
No.
Anyways, this has been episode 69 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I hate you guys. I'm John.
Am I doing it to I'm
you,
Tim.
Yeah, you're Tim.
Hi, guys.
yeah. Talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
That was a bad outro.
What? It's
thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.